Blog Talk Radio.
Fist up for the one that got away. When we left for dead, you're the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey. The only thing you're really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watching for the man, on drugs in your land, guns in your hand. Yes, Mando, come and tell, bro. Don't he open any letters, hit this with a come and tell, bro. Whips and chains, whips and chains. Been around waiting for the shit to change. Your point fingers not acting, just complain. Started in fight, just to strip the blame. Kids getting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off by leaders, what the fuck you expect? Violence need to be the only thing you respect. I watch news clips today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror, just drop bombs. Some mothers and their kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. So Bobby cut my neck so they wouldn't shoot their weapons. Seen his mama get the news, yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, playing whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a status. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a status. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, playing whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a status. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a status. Crips and blood, pimps and thugs. Nobody kill their brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in LA. Fed kids on the phone with the hate. Chase the Panthers out of state. Whoa, run, go inside a run. Tortured that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spare propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to sell. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton in the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with it. CIA did everything they could to flood the hoods with heroin. At the same time, passed away our heroines. But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Drug Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then they shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred.
She escaped, you put a bounty on her head.
Poison water in the air and the food.
We already dead, so what else we got to lose?
Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together, we unite to defeat you. Question lies they teach you, don't conform to authority. Cause under uniforms, human bonds that bleed to.
No justice, no peace, what the people say. The indigo's finna go rise and lead the way. 154 cops, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray?
I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody's gone, now they wanna start
to
touch us about the revolution, yeah, it's about to start right now.
I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way plays whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way plays whips and chains. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter.
has held us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we'll let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together. We're polishing up our act. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
We give. you know that God is my friend. I want to welcome you to yet another episode of Black Power Radio. I'm your co-host tonight. This is Sheikh Ali Imam Akbar. We're in Washington, D.C., in your favorite city, of course, and I know that you are excited about this episode. We asked a pertinent cross-examination question for everybody. Do we have cooperation? As we go to the west side and pick up all of those folks, we just want you to know that Black Power Radio, we give you more of what you listen to your Black Power Radio foe. And we're here with the most informative radio talk show on the internet. Anywhere, be there, be square, on your cell phone, your smartphone, dumb phone, Paranoid, Android, whatever device you decide to plug in, tune in, or dial in tonight on Black Power Radio. You can text in. You can chat in tonight on Black Power Radio. We're going to welcome all of you to this great episode of Black Power Radio, where we have launched the El Hajj Malik Ashabazz year. All of a sudden, they're all gravitating down on some El Hajj Malik Ashabazz, Malcolm X. But we tend to review Malcolm or El Hajj Malik Omar Wali, the scholar, the world-renowned scholar of Islam. And not to put Islam up, down, on the side burner, but what did Malcolm actually do once he began to research? What were the actions of Malcolm, and who did he eventually become before his assassination? And that is the wicked evil of the shaitan that would kill a warrior, a freedom fighter, and a scholar in Malcolm, or you call him properly by El Hajj Malik Ashabazz. It would really be properly Abdul Malik. It would be El Haji Abdul Malik Ashabazz is the name. The, it just means the. You would take the sun letter with the sheen on Shabazz, and it would be Ash. Shabazz, or you'd be Abdul Malik, right, with a moon letter with the Aleph Lam of Abdul. He's not the Malik. He's not the cherished, the sustainer of the world. He's not the Ibaba, the originator of the heavens and the earth, not the supreme master of the universe, not the supreme master of the day of judgment, but he is Al-Hajj Malik Ashabazz, Malcolm, and you may commonly call him Malcolm X. But he graduated far beyond the state of Malcolm X, the frame of mind. And to graduate that properly, any brother, I knew personally, very brothers very close to me, two New York brothers, Abdul Hafiz, Kevin Muhammad of New York and Brooklyn. He was Kevin X or Kevin whatever X he might have had, but he became Abdul Hafiz. He was not necessarily memorized of everything or memorized of the whole entire reciter and a reader, a writer, and a pronouncer of the whole full and complete entire El Quran or the entire Holy Quran. But he was Abdul Hafiz as humanly possible. And he was one of the first to pass of the COVID. It's a loss of a great brother, friend of mine. Or you may say Abdul Halim Farrakhan, or Abdul Halim Muhammad of Houston. Formerly Robert X or formerly Lewis X, but eventually they became something different in a transitional transformation into the scholar that Malcolm became. He kind of at least dropped that X and became Abdul Malik or El Haji Abdul Malik, the scholar, Ashabazz, Omar Wali, the warrior, was still there. So we want to explore all of that, Malcolm. As we launch this year of Malcolm X, we want you to become wise like a scholar as you saw in Malcolm, wise like a scholar you saw in the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. He was wise as a scholar in many aspects. Even many will try to denounce Elijah, but it's hard to build Malcolm and denounce Elijah. We want you to know some things tonight. We want to brighten up your world, brighten up your mind, put on your thinking cap, and let's rock some Black Power Radio tonight. The natural wisdom that you inherit from having knowledge, wisdom, understanding, right? Understanding cipher, understanding knowledge, Knowledge, Wisdom, Culture, Freedom. Born a lie and know the other way, build or destroy. You must know your mathematics and your supreme alphabets in a scientific lab like Black Power Radio. So we want to get you fired up tonight and reach on out to that west side with a lot of pull and a lot of pride and reach out to our host tonight. Our host has got everything warmed up on that west side. As we reach out to Los Angeles, California, want to bring live to the microphone and live as your host tonight for a fantastic episode of Black Power Radio, our beloved doctor and our on-board national minister of justice, the Honorable Dr. Mello Desire. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Black Power. Power to the people. Greetings. Thank you so much, Imam.
Oh, my, my.
Yeah, so we thank you so much for joining us. Another episode of Black Power Radio, the JDAF spin, where on Sundays we allow the sisters to speak some truth to our people. Now, tonight we're going to look at an in-depth look about one of our most profitable leaders, underrated, not everybody may know his history, and who he was, spiritual leader in his later life. So we're going to take a look at Malcolm X, also known as Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz. So join us tonight on the JDAF Spin.
Hop on in, bunnies, the JDAF Spin, where we discuss urban issues pressing America, data, action, facts, truth, with a little bit of justice wrapped in a warm, fuzzy bun. And I'm your host, TJ Fat, the bunny with the gas mask. And I have my mask on extra tight today because injustice stinks to high heaven, my friends. What's going on, America? The J-Mask Spin.
All right, so let's go into the basic biography of who Malcolm X was.
Hey, today we're going to have fun with learning about Black history and a man named Malcolm X. With Black history in the United States, many African Americans mention Malcolm X. Do you know who Malcolm X is? Malcolm X was an African-American civil rights activist and minister. Right now, we will learn a little bit about his life. Malcolm X was born Malcolm Little on May 19, 1925, in Omaha, Nebraska. Malcolm was the fourth of eight children born to Louise, a homemaker, and Earl Little, a preacher. His father spoke out against racism and was often picked on by a group named the Ku Klux Klan. It was so bad that the Littles had to move from Omaha, and his father was later found murdered. After the death of Malcolm's father, Malcolm's mother became very sick and could not take care of her children. This is where Malcolm and his siblings were placed in foster care. Seeing all of this, Malcolm would get into trouble later on, finding himself in a juvenile detention center, and later on finding himself in prison after getting in trouble. It was there his life would change when he discovered a religion known as Islam. After choosing the religion of Islam and joining the Nation of Islam, Malcolm Little would soon change his name to Malcolm X, where he would go on to be a well-known leader of the Nation of Islam. During this time, another African-American civil rights activist was Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Although Dr. King spoke about peaceful protests, Malcolm X was known for saying, by any means necessary, and you don't have to have a peaceful revolution when speaking against racism.
And that's where we begin, by any means necessary. This is a popular quote that only comes from our Honorable Malcolm X. But we're not going to only look at who Malcolm X was. We're going to look at his spiritual life and how his walk allowed him the capability to gain the knowledge that he unfortunately died with. And as we try to elevate the spiritual matters of what he represented for the Black Revolution, are we really doing the job, his name justice? Are we really walking in the spirit that he started out with, in truth and in power? So we're going to look at the Islamic Center, who put a brilliant story together on the in-depth spiritual aspect of the Malcolm. We just gave you the basic biography of his birth date and his life growing up as a troubled teen, ending up in jail, then reforming his life as he was introduced in jail, Islam. But it wasn't Islam that really changed him. What was it? At the end of this segment, we shall find out. So let's take an in-depth spiritual look on who El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz was in person.
But the man who I need to speak about, his name is El-Hajj Malik Shabazz. The name he took, after he went to Mecca and made Tawbah and made Hajj and was purified and became guided. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a beacon of light that produced nearly 3 million Muslims in America. But we can't speak about him unless we come through Malcolm X. Malcolm X lived a life which is impressive for non-Muslims. But for us Muslims, we have no concern about his life except 3 months before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his life. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance and by his determination, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed this man a new mission and gave him a new message. And it is these 3 months that we are concerned about, and only those 3 months. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yahdi man yasha, wa yudillu man yasha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he lifts up whom he pleases and guides them. And he throws down whomever he pleases and leads them to straight. That he has 3 million grandchildren who, because of his sacrifice, or as a result of some of his sacrifice, he opened up a door. So this is the proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can bring his deen and he can bring his guidance into this world, even by an individual who themselves had very small amount of knowledge. So we want to speak about this man, a controversial personality, whose autobiography is in nearly every library in the modern world. A person whose name is associated with change, resistance, and sacrifice. A man who dropped out of school in the sixth grade, but received an honorary PhD from Harvard Law School in Boston, Massachusetts. An individual whom heads of state, presidents, chairmen, kings, intellectuals and educators, they quote him concerning ethics, commitment, and inspiration.
Now, as we see how his life reflected in his actions, how presidents, chairmen, kings, and intellectuals, and educators quote concerning ethics, commitment, and inspiration from this man. So when we look at who Malcolm X, how he turned out his life to be, understand that he was sought out not because of his name's sake, not because he was pumping his fist out in the street, but because he studied himself to be approved and sought the spiritual aspect of who he really was as a leader, which is why he was respected by all nations, no matter what was done to him. He stood the course and was focused and kept his eyes on what was true, no matter what the opposition tried to do. I want you to keep in mind, Black family, we are going to continue to utilize the name of our ancestors and adopt their names, that we must walk their walk, not just talk the talk.
Inspiration. A man, a minister, a missionary with a powerful message who embraced and declared the Kalima only 3 months before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his life. Who is this man? What was his mission? And what was his actual message? Malcolm X was born Malcolm Little. That was his name. He was born in Omaha, Nebraska. His father was a Baptist minister and a political activist, a follower of a man called Marcus Garvey. His mother was a school teacher. And because his father was a proud man and a resistant man, his father stood up and he did not bow down. After that, Malcolm's mother, under trauma, was committed to an insane asylum. And so at the age of 9, Malcolm became an orphan. And he dropped out of school at 12, that's the 6th grade. He moved to a city called Detroit. And while he was in Detroit, Malcolm dealt with the science of the streets, making money any way you can, becoming gangsters. And like Malcolm, most of those who chose or who choose this way, you will wind up soon in two places if you don't make Tawbah. You will wind up in the prison if Allah is merciful to you, or if Allah is not merciful, you will wind up in an early grave. To think that you're going to be an exception and you're just a fool. So Malcolm, after he left Detroit, he went to Boston. Big gangster. And at 19 years old, Malcolm got his first case, 15 years in the prison. In the prison, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reformed his conduct. He met some people who called themselves the Nation of Islam. And we have to give credit where credit is due. That Elijah Muhammad, although he was not a prophet, he was a social reformer.
I'm going to pause right there because I think we need to clarify exactly when we're honoring people, what they really stand for. Now, this is not the opinion of I, who am just a mere mortal of a human being. My opinions mean nothing. This is actual data, fact, in history of who Elijah Muhammad was. He was a social reformer more than anything. And he's going to explain, his mom is going to explain exactly the difference of what that is.
But Elijah Muhammad, although he was not a prophet, he was a social reformer. A social reformer is a man who helps people to come from the lowest form of social degradation until they come to a level of self-esteem. He was able to reform them and clean them up and make them into productive people, fathers, mothers, businessmen, and distinguished people and respectful people, men like Malcolm, because Malcolm was not the only one like himself. This is what you need to know. There were thousands of people that was like Malcolm X, but they did not have his voice. Allah didn't give them the same gift, but their conviction, their sincerity, their social reform was just like Malcolm, because they said Islam, because they said Quran, because they stopped drinking. So Malcolm went to prison. And while he was in prison, he became part of the Nation of Islam. Malcolm stayed in prison not 15 years, but 9 years. And when Malcolm came out of prison, mentally, he was powerful. Malcolm said that after he cleaned up his mind and cleaned up his body, after he gave up cursing, smoking, drinking, after he pledged his life to Elijah Muhammad and considered himself to be a Muslim, he said, I never lied after that. I never stole after that. I never cursed after that. I never lusted for any women after that, he said. And
that, my friends, is part of the action that we must follow. It's not just saying that I'm reformed, follow the Quran, or I follow the Bible. It's not that you say that you're a spiritual person. It's what's your action speaking? See, God is not going to condemn you. If you want to smoke, drink, you want to have sex with everybody that is not married to you, that's your business. But understand there are consequences for these type of actions. And when you are really spiritually reformed, you automatically want to leave those things behind, Black family. And that is why we must look at people's actions rather than their dialogue.
Nation of Islam. Malcolm stayed in prison not 15 years, but 9 years. And when Malcolm came out of prison, mentally, he was powerful. Malcolm said that after he cleaned up his mind and cleaned up his body, after he gave up cursing, smoking, drinking, after he pledged his life to Elijah Muhammad and considered himself to be a Muslim, he said, I never lied after that. I never stole after that. I never cursed after that. I never lusted for any women after that, he said. And I never gambled anymore because I saw myself to be a servant of Allah. With that mentality, he began to read on his own. The first thing that Malcolm, in a period of 4 years, he memorized the entire dictionary. So I want to defeat them in their language. After he did that, Malcolm said, I finished. I read and I wrote essays on 172 books. All the top books that all the people read in the colleges and universities about science, about math, about history, about botany, about biology, about sociology, about psychology, about different people, he said he read it and he wrote. So when Malcolm got out, Malcolm was a walking classroom.
Malcolm was a walking classroom. That is powerful, Black family. He was a walking classroom. Can we say to ourselves, self-reflect, and say, are we ourselves a walking classroom? When we think about what's in a classroom, what do you have? You have a teacher, you have a student, you have a board to write information, you have a notebook to take notes. This is what Malcolm was later in life. All of the things in the past didn't matter. It was what he was now that was reformed. And a walking classroom that studied the dictionary, that is what I strive every day to be. Follow in the footsteps so I, myself, can be a walking classroom for others. This is where we must take the time to put away the things that we know is messing up our mindset. The television is the worst creation ever because it has stolen hours of intellectual studies that we could have done had we not had it available to us. But even if it is available to us, do you discipline yourself enough to say, I'm going to take an hour a day to study the word. I'm going to take an hour a day to study the laws. I'm going to take an hour a day to make sure that I know intellectually what is surrounding me so I can properly defeat this satanic system. But if we take our minds to engage in idle gossip, to watch mundane television, to engage in sports, that takes away from the intellectual aspect of who we ought to be. But yet we want to do these things and still be a revolutionary? Absolutely not. Is that going to work out?
He was the spokesman for Elijah Muhammad. And in a period, after Malcolm got out, in a period of 6 years, Malcolm built a national organization of over 112 masjids. They didn't call them masjids, they called them temples. He built a national newspaper called Muhammad Speaks, a newspaper that is still running today from 1954 until now. So from a seasonal criminal, man of honor, man of integrity, the ideal husband, the brother, the vigilant community activist, the articulate speaker, the self-appointed international ambassador of the African Americans. And he was the kind of man that was searching for the truth. So when someone told him, Malcolm, if you really want to know what Islam is, I suggest that you go make Hajj. Go to Mecca. I dare you. Go to Mecca. I'll pay for it. And Malcolm, because he was curious and he was a man searching, he said, okay, I will go. And Malcolm said, I remember the letter. He said, I arrived in Jeddah thinking myself to be a Muslim minister. And I felt like a fool. I realized I couldn't pray. I didn't know how to wash. I didn't know anything about Islam. And I felt like a fool calling myself a Muslim minister. And there he discovered what is the Quran. And there he discovered who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there he discovered who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Jeddah, he took the new shahada and qualified himself to perform the Hajj. After he took that shahada in Jeddah, in November of 1964, 6 days later, he was writing a letter from Muna, preparing himself to go to Arafat. In Ihram, having made Tawbah, having cleaned himself, having asked Allah's forgiveness, so the Prophet then said, whomsoever performs Hajj with sincerity, he comes back from the Hajj as if he came from the womb of his mother. So he went as Malcolm X, but he came back as Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz, wanting to establish the prayer and to pay the zakat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَذَلِكَ دِينٌ قَيِّمًا. This is what he accepted. He said, on my way back from Mecca, I visited 7 countries. And they knew that he had become a Muslim, and he had made his commitment to come back to America and let the world know the truth about Islam. The enemies of Allah began to work. They tried 3 times. When he arrived back in America, he said, every place he went, he saw the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plotting against him every place. Now this deen has produced such men over and over. Malcolm was not phenomenal. It's just that at the time that he came, he was the most phenomenal of the African Americans that America had ever produced. But this deen has produced such men and women over and over. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the believers are like mines of gold and silver. The best of them in the Jahiliyyah will also be the best in the day of Islam if they believe. Because you and me, we can become better than Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz. He wasn't a Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. No, he was just a man who found himself by the grace of Allah and made Tawbah and made a commitment, and his life ended in 3 months.
And January 30th, he actually interviewed with a gentleman named Gordon Parks, who was an American photographer, filmmaker, a prestigious journalist. And in these last few interviews that Malik had with Gordon Parks was telling. So we're going to hear directly from the horse's mouth, so to speak, on exactly his return back to America and how his life has been turned around.
Malcolm, you know, you've changed a lot since your first appearance on this show some years ago. At that time, you were sort of a stormy patriot and you hated all whites. You said it was something to that effect. Now you have a different attitude completely. You told me once that your religious experience in Cairo has changed your attitude and your outlook.
Well, as a Muslim, since I left Elijah Muhammad's Black Muslim Movement, I should say since they put me off, because that's what they did, I've had a chance to do some traveling, and travel does broaden your scope. And as a Muslim whose religion is Islam, as it is practiced and taught in the Muslim world, I realize that it is impossible call oneself a Muslim, to call one's religion Islam, and at the same time judge a man by the color of his skin. When I went to Mecca, I was faced with this decision. I was faced with the decision of believing what Elijah Muhammad had taught me and using the criteria of judgment, the color of the skin, or I had to accept Islam as it was taught in the Muslim world, which doesn't use color as the color of the skin as the criteria. Rather, in the Muslim world, in the religion of Islam, you judge a man by his behavior, by his conscious behavior, by his intentions, by his deeds. This is the yardstick by which a person is judged.
This poses two very interesting things. In other words, you no longer believe, as Elijah Muhammad has been quoted as saying, that all white men are devils. You have changed that thing.
If what Elijah Muhammad says, that all white men are devils, then you have the King of Arabia, King Faisal, who is white. He is the keeper of the holy city of Mecca. And many other Arabs there on the Arabian, not only in Arabia, but in Egypt, in Algeria, and other places, they are, from all appearances, white.
Now, this poses a second problem I'd like to get your opinion on. Of course, you may be biased because you no longer are a member of the so-called black Muslim. But is the black Muslim a religion or not? Because this is coming up in a case in Chicago where a prisoner in Stateville converted from Roman Catholicism to the black Muslims, and he demanded to be able to be allowed to practice his religion in the jail. Because he said the black Muslim was not a bona fide religion.
Well,
how do you feel?
I want to answer that with this explanation first. Number one, no one can use me against Elijah Muhammad or against the black Muslim movement. On the other hand, anything that Elijah Muhammad says or does, or the black Muslim movement says or does, which I feel is against the best interests of the black community, then I'll attack it myself. But I won't attack it because someone sticks me on it. I don't let anybody use me to fight their battles. No one can say that what he teaches is not a religion, but it is not the religion of Islam. The religion of Islam is based upon brotherhood. It is based upon belief in Allah, the creator of the universe, infinite, omnipresent, omniscient, what's the other word, omnipotent. And whereas Elijah Muhammad teaches that God is a man who came to America in the flesh and taught him what he knows, Islam teaches that belief in Allah.
And that actually is one half of the clip, and we'll play the other half as soon as we get our callers in. So if you want to chime in on your knowledge or history or any facts or any questions concerning this great man, El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X, please call in, 646-478-4447. Do we have any callers on the line? Imam.
We do have a few, as well as our beloved brother is behind the wall. Brother Abdullah is calling from upstate in New York, and he wanted to get a few words in on Malcolm, and I wanted to welcome our beloved brother who's holding down a ministry behind the wall for the New Black Panther Party for self-defense, and as well as he's always propagating the streets with me from Chicago to Atlanta, Carolina, D.C., wherever he needs to be. Abdullah always had the knack for showing up and knowing exactly where he was supposed to be and doing exactly what he's supposed to do. So I can keep those kind of brothers stay close to you to make others know what they're supposed to do. Assalamu alaikum and black power to you, Brother Abdullah. Black power.
Walaikum assalam and black power. I like to greet every comrade that's out there all over the country. I'd like to greet my comrade, Quran, who's a part of the National Field Marshal Department. And I'd like to thank Brother Shabazz out in New York, who's holding it down, and Kareem and them holding it down. El-Haj Malik Shabazz, man, people took him for granted out there. They took him for granted as a brother. He was a knowledgeable brother. He had an eighth-grade education, but he debated the greatest of the great professors, and he sat them all down, Brother El-Haj Malik Shabazz.
That's right. Added to that, Brother Abdullah, he is on record as number one debater at Oxford University of London. And so there's many other things that we can add to his repertoire. But as a scholar, I've been approaching much of what El-Haji, we say Abdul Malik Ash-Shabazz, properly Omar Wali, the freedom fighter scholar. And we want to add more in on the scholar at this hour to get our positions right here at the New Black Panther Party fence. And he was pro-revolution, and he was pro-black nationalism, and he was pro-Muslim, and he was definitely pro as a scholar.
That's right. That's right. Black power on that. Black power.
Very, very, very great. That's what's up.
Hello?
Well, we definitely thank you
for
calling in, and we want you to chime in as to what we need to do as modern-day nationalists, as some of us like to use that title. What exactly do we need to continue to do in order to see the revelation of black economic power rise?
That's right.
This is what we need to do. We need to start pooling our resources. We need to utilize the forces we have and the backing of the ancestors. But we need to pool our resources that we have, even if it's selling something, an item or two, just to get the resource to get that economic build. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke about pool resource. Booker T. Washington, he spoke about pool our resource. If we all pool it, you got all these billionaires out there. These star-studded power. Let's connect with them and get these things, these black star power. Let's connect with them and get them to pool their resource with us and put in the finance of us.
That's right.
Good luck. So
you
we thank you again, Brother Abdullah, for chiming in tonight. And please don't make it your last call here at Black Power Radio as we support our prison program as well in New York, Atlanta, D.C., Chicago, Los Angeles, and wherever the Panther roams, and the Panther adjusts to whatever environment you find the Panther existing, then the Panther has made that adjustment because it's built into his nature and into his character to adjust
right.
to that environment, right?
Yes,
and
sir.
Not be dominated by the environmental influence, but be the major influence in the environment. And that
right,
is
right on. Black power.
Black power. Whatever environment we find ourselves. As we go black to our lives, and saying, As-salamu alaykum, Brother Abdullah, and Black
Power.
Walaykum
as-salam, sir. Black Power.
As we're reaching out for
black
survival,
power,
Black
Abdullah.
Power. Black Power.
Black Power, Roland. Sister.
Black Power, all power to the people. Yes.
All power to the people rolling up on some 504 area code, and it's likely a New Orleans call. But we're at 504 at 432. You're actually live here on Black Power Radio. Black Power?
Yes, Black Power. Now, to answer the sister's question about what, nationalism, I said it starts, you know, the nationalism starts right within your communities, you know. You control the politics and the politicians. So that's in the nine local objectives. That's where we start right then and there. And what I want to say about Brother Malcolm. See, people don't know Brother Malcolm inspired a lot of these entertainers. Now, you all know that Malcolm was, him and Red Fox were buddies. I don't know if people know that or not.
No, that's an interesting part of history.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Red Fox, Lena Horne. Matter of fact, Lena Horne was married to a Caucasian. And this is what they said. She was saying that, you know, when she would listen to Malcolm, she said he became like her idol. And then when, you know, Malcolm was assassinated and her husband said, oh, those rebel rousers, they kill up each other. And she just took off. She just lost it. Now, you're going to be surprised if I tell you there was a singer that was inspired by Malcolm. He met Malcolm in Los Angeles at the age of 14, and he wanted to shake his hand, but the FOI came around him, and he couldn't. Barry White was inspired by Malcolm X. He met him.
Mm. Wow.
People don't know that.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is amazing. So it doesn't matter what your outlook is. When you are walking righteously, you attract heads of leaders and everybody from all walks of life, apparently. And that's what Malcolm
mm-hmm.
did.
Yeah. And and I want to say this because I've been listening at Brother Wesley. I think he's a brilliant brother. No, you know, no shots. He's coming out with a book on the real Judas and the Black Messiah, something like that, upon Malcolm. And I want to say this for those who are trying to rewrite history: you can't rewrite history. Everything that's out is been out. You have people like Carl E. Vance. You have people like Baba Zach Kondo, who did the research. It took some years for him, 14 years, and he came out. And we got to accept certain things for what it is. You can't change, you know. Just accept it. Just accept things for what it is, you know. You know, only thing we can do is just learn and not to make these same mistakes again.
Right.
You know, because this was a brilliant brother. And this was a brilliant brother, and if the brother would have lived, he would have made changes. And also, too, people don't know this. They're saying that this is not true, but Malcolm had people in the streets that was, you know, even though they were doing wrong, but they looked up to the brother. People like Bumpy Johnson and all of them in New York. Now, they're saying that he didn't have a contact with them, and then you have those that say he they had contact with him, because when certain stuff was going on with Malcolm, you had those from the streets. All he had to do was make a call, and a lot of people wouldn't have lived that long if it wasn't for that brother.
Hmm.
He didn't want a bloodbath. He had backup in the streets when he was being attacked. A lot of those brothers, see, when they said, when they told the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told them to leave Malcolm alone, Malcolm was not a pushover. He had backup in the streets. A lot of those brothers would have been dead, would have met their demise. But the brother, he was the cause that many of them lived that long. Many of them.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. And this stark contrast for today, a big difference in 2021. You call your troops, they're nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
No.
So this is a big difference.
You know, because I'm like, you need to play some clips from Omar Shabazz, you know, because he got some DVDs up on Malcolm. Omar Shabazz, he's a YouTuber, you know. Uber Tshaka, you know.
Oh, I heard it, Tshaka, yeah.
Uber, I think
Giants,
he's from out
the
Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uber Tshaka, you know, we need to, you know, he has a lot of information. So all the time, say people, we need to just study the man. Because if you listen to him, he went to naming names and everything. And,
right. And that's
and
what we're
going to
look
too,
at in our second half.
Yeah. I don't want, because I know they got other line listeners on the line. But also, too, he went to meeting with the African heads of state. Letting them know you should not be having all these different people coming into these countries just taking your resources. Make them pay for what they want.
Right. And they
yeah.
definitely wasn't listening to him on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we
so that's
we
all
gotta,
I want to say. Oh.
Yeah,
oh, go
thank
ahead,
you
sister.
So much,
go ahead.
Mr. Harold.
Okay.
It's very important that we continue to study who Malcolm really was. Because it's not fair to adopt his name, take parts of his name, and make it your own, and then you're doing everything opposite of what this man stood for. It does a great service to the movement that we have.
And are you there? Are you still there?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, and also, as we're using this Panther name, because Malcolm was the father of the Black Panthers. Many people don't know. Huey and them seen Malcolm when he came to Oakland. I think around 63. He came to Oakland. So I just want to say this: Malcolm is the father of the Panthers. you know, him, Kwame Ture, but, you know, they really were studying Malcolm.
The caller.
So, yeah. You know. Yeah, so we're going to do that.
There was someone on the line of Prison Ministries.
I think he might have hung his phone. I heard his phone.
Abdullah on the exit, Power to the People.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, so we're going to continue on with our show. Thank you, Brother Harold, if you could just stand by just in case for later on for any Q&A.
Okay, I will. Okay.
And then we'll continue on with the biography of Malcolm X. Is there anyone else on the line before we continue?
Yeah.
Shiki Mom?
I just probably would pick up Atlanta's been holding, and they had, I think, had a comment for the line. Let's see if we can pull up on our beloved brother out in Atlanta, Georgia, if I can feel that right here. I don't know if Karan's out there. Now, I got a lot of New York callers. But let's look over here and see if we can pull up on our beloved brother in Atlanta. And thank you, Brother Howell. Be on standby with us, Howell. We got a lot of good stuff for you. Black power, black power.
Black power.
Black power.
Black power. And we rumble over here and let's pick up Atlanta. You're on 678. Atlanta, Georgia, at 895, 678-895. You're actually...
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you're very clear. Yes. Go ahead.
Give him a horn. I'm talking to all the people out there. I don't want to get off subject.
Black power.
Huh? Oh, black power. Power to all the people. I'm talking to Lakers. But I'm saying was, I don't want to get off subject. But there was a story out there that agents, Asian community that's of color, they started to follow Malcolm X teachers. They tried to challenge the government. They said, we're sick and tired of asking for education. We're sick and tired of asking for food. Sick and tired of asking rights. And it was an Asian brother. He's dark skinned. He said the best thing that ever happened to him was coming across Malcolm X. You got people in Southeast Asia that's following his teachings. And that man was a you know, hell of an inspiration. Now he got the agents following his movement. You can't. They might have killed him, but it didn't kill his spirit. Now, you know. So when I read that story, I felt it good. I'm like, wow. That brother inspired ages to go fight for everybody. So there's no reason why in America we should be lacking on that. We should be an inspiration to everybody around the world. Because if these brothers could go, if these brothers teachers could reach Southeast Asia, there's no reason why these teachers can't reach the ghettos of America. And I just wanted to touch upon that because that inspired me that I need to start following and being more besides from Malcolm X teachings, you know, because the Asian countries are all the way on that side of the world. And, you know, and I was like, wow, you know, that brother's teachings is phenomenal. And that's why they're trying to erase him out of history, because they fit him. You got this man by the name Yale and Harvard, you know, professors, and he didn't even touch down in the college. And that's why they fit him, because we don't need to be educated by going to Yale or you know what I mean, or Harvard or anything like that. We can self-educate ourselves, and that's why they fear him. Because, you know, they say that your mind is a terrible thing to waste. You know what I'm saying? That's why they're constantly flooded with our community with drugs and liquor stores everywhere. And that's why they constantly try to downplay a lot of things, you know? For instance, when he was going to the ghettos and getting the homeless, educating them and stuff like that, they started fearing him. You know, people have to realize Malcolm X was just more than a leader. You know, he was an inspiration. A lot of people don't understand that these conditions are forced on us in America from him being born to now. We don't choose the street. The streets choose us, and it's unfortunate that way. They force education of us. They force us to be poor. They force us to beg, and we're tired of it. It's already been 400 years that this same thing. It's happening, and now that this gentleman came along and peace be upon him, he got sick of it. And after people, it's in our DNA, we should be sick of it. I'm tired of seeing poor. I'm tired of seeing us doing crime, and nobody wants to do something about it. So as black parents, we got to go and hit these communities if nobody else will. We got to go to these black farmers and start feeding these brothers and sisters. We got to start going to these communities and educating the youth. And it starts with us. We know damn well Chris Columbus discovered America. Those are already Native Americans and Africans here before that. So it's up to us to educate our youth. We can't depend on them. You know, and
right.
I
agree. And this is why I stress the fact that we must know our local governance. And that's exactly how we can beat the system. In our last hour, we'll be focusing on modern-day solutions. We're looking at some quotes from Dr. Boyce Watkins, who came up with a specific solution, a formula that we must emulate in order to currently counteract this system of a government. And so it sounds all great, the power movement, but if we're not activating the information that's needed by writing down what currently is affecting us, then we're just living in a dream. And this is why I want us to really focus on action rather than dialogue. Black Power?
Yes, 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 I'm still here. Black Power, yes. You absolutely right on all of it.
Yes.
Big love.
I just feel like education got to be important to us.
All right.
You can get a double back. If you put your hand black up, you can chime in on the second half as I attempt to go down to fourth. And thank you for calling in Atlanta. You've been a great contributor here at Black Power Radio, and we certainly do respect
that. Absolutely. Walaikum, power to all the people, man.
Walaikum salam. All
right.
Power to the people, brother.
Black power,
as we roll up on some 469. And that's a great point the brother's making. As well as we roll up on this, know that the Malaysian Muslim, many Asian Muslims, the Indonesian Muslim, the Chinese Muslim, I went to school with Vietnamese Muslims, and they all respect Malcolm highly as a scholar. This is what they're missing. The Nigerian and the Angola Muslim respect him. Omar Wali in Uganda and in Ghana, West Africa, and all parts of the continent have a high-end respect. Malcolm is one of the major black men from America that broke the ice, not only in Islam or al-Islam, if you want to say that, but in freedom fighting for black Africa in general, and friend to all of the heads of states of Africa. So make no mistake about that, brother and sister. When you have dishonored and underestimated and undervalued and marginalized Malcolm, and he is one of the greatest, as the brother said earlier, that has ever been from amongst us doing anything.
That's right.
On 196 million on 940,000 square miles of the solid ground we call planet Earth. So keep it focused,
that's
brother,
right,
and know what caliber of a man that Almighty God raised him to be. Huh? Not from your scholarship at your university, but from the divine universal university and the University of Islam. So know these things, brother and sister, as knowledge, and then you're able to toe-to-toe with those that may be, you'll be number one debater at your university. Oh, keep it black and strong, don't you know? At 469, let me break it one more time. At 469-894, you're actually live right here on Black Power Radio. Black Power? Running 469,
Black Power.
Running 469. Black Power, come alive. Oh, let me skip that.
If they don't come on.
If I see any
we can get them later on.
Okay, we've got a 301 at 455. Let's try 301. Okay, that's 455. You're live. I don't know if 301, 455 is live. 301, 455. You're live on Black Power Radio. 301, 301, 455. You're live. The subject is Malcolm X on Black Power Radio. Black Power? Black Power.
Black Power.
And we're rolling on 301, rolling on 301, 455. And we're going to move and let's see.
All right, well, we can get them later on. We'll have opportunities throughout the show for them to call in.
All you New Yorkers, along with Brother Karan, will come on the second half of the show. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power, Black Power.
Black Power. All right, so now we're going to look at our two events coming up. May 2022. Join us April 28th through May 1st at the National Political Black Convention held in Newark, New Jersey. And here is where we're going to implement our new system. 2 weeks later, follow us May 19th to the 22nd in Los Angeles, where we'll celebrate Malcolm X Day, the very person we're talking about today, where we hope to advise, give, and implement new laws and a brand new system. So we have about 5 to 6 months to get together, Black family. So join us April 28th to May 1st in Newark, New Jersey, for the 50th anniversary of the National Black Political Convention. And then join us again in Los Angeles, where we'll have an exclusive execution of Black Excellence right here in Los Angeles, California, on May 19th to the 22nd. So be there, be square, and come together with your ideas. Dialogue is not welcome, but action is. All right, so let's get back to our regularly scheduled programming, where we're talking about the in-depth history of Malcolm X, better known as El Hajj Malik El Shabazz. Now, we were going to an interview in 1965 where he was talking with Gordon Parks, and Gordon Parks was one of the last few people that Malcolm interviewed with. This is the second one, January 30th, 1965, where this first interview was being held on his return back to America. Then afterwards, we're going to listen to a later interview, which will be February 19th. This is closer to his death of a very same interview on a different platform. Here we go.
Omnipresent, omniscient, what's the other word, omnipotent. And whereas Elijah Muhammad teaches that God is a man who came to America in the flesh and taught him what he knows, Islam teaches that belief in all of the prophets, especially Muhammad ibn Abdullah, who was born and died in Iraq.
When I first, the Black Muslim, one thing that the Black Muslim movement did.
Now, this interview that he did in, I believe this is February 21st. Well, no, this is 2 days before his speech at the addressing the OAAU in Manhattan, February 19th. Now, this is, the audio may not be too clear, but unfortunately, this is the best clip that we could find concerning the last few interviews of Malcolm X. This was 2 days before he was killed.
Positive. Here in this country, the militancy that is projected made the Black people in this country more militant than they had ever been. The whole civil rights struggle was affected by the general posture reflected or projected by the Black Muslim movement. When I first came into the knowledge of the crisis within Elijah Muhammad's family in Chicago and what it would mean to the Black Muslim movement if it were out, I chose myself to remain silent because I'm not to save Elijah Muhammad, but I felt I was afraid of the factual harm it would do his followers, plus the effect it would have on the struggle of that Black people are waging in this country, period.
Now, the context of this interview, he actually confided with Gordon Parks that he felt that the Nation of Islam and the FBI were out to kill him. Now, this is what he felt at that time. For whatever reason, he felt that we cannot change history. If that, in fact, was the case, Black family, what are we to do? Are we to sweep it under the rug? Are we not to question the behavior of our past? The only way that we can move ahead in our future is that we address and listen to what he was saying, because unfortunately, he met his demise because of internal issues. Now, we got to call it as we see it and not make the same mistake.
When I first left the movement, I left the guilt of full blame. I even made it apparent that I was leaving. I never left the Black Muslim movement. I was put out. And because the law in the movement is that when a person is put out, they must first be brought before the membership and given a hearing. Elijah Muhammad was afraid to bring me before the membership and give me a hearing for fear of what I might say in my own defense. So I was put in limbo, so to speak, suspended, and the Muslims in the temple here in New York were told that I would be back in 90 days. But at the same time, they were being told that I would be back in 90 days, brothers were sent out by Joseph to take my life. And those brothers are with me now. The police know about it. This is a fact. And it was only after I was out of the movement, and then Elijah Muhammad began to use the every pulpit every temple in the nation to blaspheme against me, trust Muhammad speaks no favor, and to poison the mind of his followers into thinking that I have actually committed some kind of treacherous deed against him, that I felt it necessary for me to tell his followers the real reason for which I came out of the movement. I've been doing that ever since. Gordon, you're a professional observer of extremist organizations, and you classify the black nationalists and, of course, the Muslims as an extremist organization. How do you appraise this political warfare that's going on in the black nationalist organization?
Well, to be perfectly frank with you, I do believe in speaking frankly, I think.
Now, this is an interviewer that's actually speaking to Gordon Parks. Gordon Parks, after he interviewed Malcolm, they became very close, good buddies until his last days. So the interviewer is asking Gordon Parks his opinion on what's happening with Malcolm.
At the moment, the Muslims are dying organizations. They're on the way out. They've made no impact in the Negro community nationally at any point, and even less so now. Malcolm has no place to go, which is why he's floundering so badly. For example, he's been breaking bread with the communists downtown.
What communists? By socialist workers' party.
Well, you're absolutely out of your mind.
You know, I have never broken bread.
You have given several speeches, which they have not
broken bread. I speak anywhere. I spoke in London.
Malcolm and who he stood for. And Gordon Parks himself, even though he intimately received information and befriended Malcolm, he really was not Malcolm's friend. This is why you cannot trust anyone but God. You cannot trust anyone but God. God will send you the right people your way to work with you, to protect you, execute his will, not the will of man, but the will of God who created us. That is who Malcolm's ultimate leader was. When he was deceived by man, when he was tricked by man, by his close acquaintances, couldn't even call them friends, acquaintances, they made sure whoever had the hand and ultimately taking his life is the one that has to stand before God in judgment. But Malcolm made sure that even up until his death, that he stood up for what was right and made sure that his children carried on the legacy that he started. And we're going to actually go and pay our respects to Malika, who at 56 recently passed away. A couple of weeks ago, November 23rd, his daughter.
Reasoning, sir, doesn't help me. I'm just saying that I was asked a question by Stan, and I think that
hold on a second. One.
You brothers from the streets, establish the prayers. Clean your money. Clean your company. Clean your heart. Spend an hour a week with a student of knowledge. Come in the circles where the brothers have given up the knowledge, even if you go to sleep. Eat with the brothers. Walk with the brothers. Come to the masjid. Because if you spend an hour a week with the people who have clean hearts, the people who have clean lives, the people who are giving them ilm, knowledge, the people who have a love for the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the people who have made tawbah and after that did not return back to the crimes, if you spend an hour with them, it'll be just like 100 hours that you spent with your boys in the street. And you might have a chance to get up off the edge. But if you don't spend that hour, don't think, brother, somehow or another, some kind of fairy tale, inshallah kind of thing. It's just going to happen somewhere along the line. You're going to find yourself on a cold slab next door, and it'll all be over. Your money, your girlfriends, all the bling bling you had around your neck, but now you inside the grave. Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz, he was not perfect. He did not have unusual knowledge, and you don't have to be super pious. You only need to be decent. Be sincere. Don't be like you think you're trying to act pious on the outside, but you know it ain't really happening on the inside. Be the best Muslim that you can be. That's what the Prophet said. Do as much as you can. If Malcolm X became Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz in 3 months, from the worst to the best, from zero to hero, then you can do it too.
And that is the word from Imams from Islamic Guidance, in which they brilliantly put together the biography of Malcolm in the last 3 months. 3 months. Think about it. We could live a lifetime of trying to do good deeds, but be ineffective. What is missing in that equation? We all have to do a reflection on how we are carrying our lives. But in 3 months, if Malcolm was able to gain the spiritual aspect that he did, the level that he reached, that touched many leaders nationwide, internationally, that's preaching his words, we must do the same, especially here in America. It was America that despised the spiritual Malcolm. They wanted the gambling, the smoking, the jive talking, the backbiting Michael, because he was one of the fellas, right? But when he decided to seek spiritual knowledge and went to Mecca, and his eyes opened and he saw the truth, America didn't want to hear the truth. They wanted to silence him. And this is a grave example of why America is doomed. Because it kills its prophet. They kill their leaders. And in the same shadow, Martin Luther King, who fell on a similar demise, we can all say that we did not protect our leaders, that we gave them to be slaughtered, sacrificial lambs. Yet we want to carry their name and we want to quote them every second. I can't turn around anywhere in January where everybody and their mama's quoting Martin Luther King, from here to kingdom come. But these are the same people that refuse to give black people reparations, but yet they're talking about let's overcome, kumbaya, let freedom ring, I have a dream. I'm going to say something on this platform that I didn't expect to say, but I think it's very relevant. Every year here in Los Angeles, we have something called the Kingdom Day Parade. And this is ran, well, you could actually do your research. I'm not going to mention his name. But I had a very long conversation with this leader who I looked up to, who I felt was a mentor of mine for many years. And a conversation that we had today, I realized that he didn't really give a damn about Martin Luther King. But yet for almost 35 years, he had a parade where everybody from Congress, all of the media outlets, made sure that they were there on this third Monday of every January in order to march down in honor of Martin Luther King. But at the same token, this man does not care anything for black youth, not one iota, to the fact where the resources that he garnished from this Kingdom Day parade he gets every year, it goes to his pocket. He caters to the politicians who are currently being indicted, who are currently showing themselves. He gives them a platform every year to walk and march and ride in their fancy cars in this parade in honoring of having a dream. But anything else of how he walks, how he cares for his community outside of January is everything opposite, catering to the oppressors, not giving an olive or nothing to the black community, but yet you make your money off of this leader who changed the mentality of the civil rights movement, although he had a different tactic of unifying everybody. Malcolm had the correct tactic in creating something separate, because Malcolm knew that we were still on the bottom, that we cannot collaborate with other races or nations because they already built their foundation on our backs. So we had catch up to do. But because we could not find the leaders in the political realm who were supposed to give us reparations since day one, or to fight for the black community, they did nothing but utilize our tax dollars for their own piggy bank. And that's what you have when people are idolizing Malcolm X or Martin Luther King. So many stories, so many theater plays, movies, videos, films are made about these two leaders, to the point where even a fictitious story was created surrounding a conversation Malcolm X and Martin Luther King had, which never happened, but it became a great story. What would these great two giant people talk about in this room? It was a wonderful story, but what it was a story. And that's what's getting us killed, black family. It's these stories. We got stories all day. But that story needs to transfer into law. It needs to transfer into reparations, which is why the next hour, we're going to focus on the current resolutions that we need to follow. And Dr. Boyce Watkins from Your Black World actually did that brilliantly. Before that, let's go into paying an homage to Malika Shabazz, Malcolm X's daughter, who passed away a couple of weeks ago.
Malika Shabazz was found dead on Monday, November 22nd, in her New York apartment, which is extremely sad. Oh, I hate to hear that. I say her death is definitely felt throughout black America, as many have watched for years of family struggle to reconcile the loss of their revolutionary father. Now, they say Shabazz's 23-year-old daughter found her lying unresponsive in her Brooklyn apartment. Now, the NYPD reported that the 56-year-old appears to have died of natural causes, a determination which has yet to be confirmed by a medical examiner. Okay, so if a medical examiner has not said anything yet, why are you saying that? Why are you putting that out there? I don't like when they do that, when you definitely didn't have any kind of confirmation from a coroner, et cetera. Let's say Shabazz appears to have had a pre-existing condition that could have contributed to her death, as according to the NYPD commissioner. And say after speaking with those close to Shabazz, he has said that at this point in time, working with other authorities, the medical examiner, and speaking to the family, she had been ill for a period of time, and at this point, nothing appears suspicious. Now, Shabazz was not present when her father, you know, who was Malcolm X, was assassinated in 1965. And said her mother, the late Dr. Betty Shabazz, who was killed in an apartment fire in 1997, was pregnant with her and her twin sister, Malak. And said when their father was killed, I said the two were named after their dad as a tribute to his life. Now, the news comes only days after two men were exonerated for their father's death. They say the Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. worked for the Innocence Project to clear the names of Mohammed A. Aziz, 83, and Khalil Islam, who died in 2009. They say their family has not publicly given a statement on her untimely demise. Now, you remember also a few years ago, Malcolm X's grandson also died in Mexico, right? I mean, they said that supposedly somebody either got to him, threw him off of a roof or something, and I don't know what he was involved with in Mexico. I always tell people, a lot of y'all want to go down there to Mexico, and it's a lot of stuff down there. Y'all don't know what's going on. So that's why I tell people my place is Africa. That's why I feel that's where I belong.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But shout out to people in Mexico. Some we got people in Mexico that watch the show. But, you know, for her to die, especially at that age, but people did say she was ill. You know, we have to take care of ourselves as much as possible, you know, especially when we have, you know, different pre-existing conditions.
And that's Philip, Brother Philip from the African Diaspora Channel that was divulging the news when it first broke out. All right, so if we're going to take maybe one or two calls, if there's available, we're going to go into our second segment in solutions for the current situation of 2021, how we're going to go out with a bang. So I hope you have your notepads ready because this is note-taking time. Note-taking time. Let's get our stuff together. Imam, is there anybody that wants to chime in that's been on hold? If not, we will go on to our next segment. Okay, so let's go into our next segment. Now, what modern-day resolutions do we need to look at in order for us to really build a better system? We have spoken about symbolism and how symbolically we like to carry on our past leaders and what they stood for. But what current situation do we need to figure out, especially when it comes to incarceration, when it comes to laws, how the black community is still being terrorized? The only way we can do that is come together with a brand new solution. So let's listen to a story of Les, who actually was released from prison 57 years later.
Hey, good morning. It's Dr. Boyce Watkins, and I wanted to come in for a second and talk to you all about this really interesting case that I saw in Black Enterprise. It has to do with what they call the 10-6 lifers. 10-6 lifers are black men in Louisiana who received sentences that were supposed to be 10 years and 6 months before they got parole. One of these brothers in this picture here, in 1964, they told him, you know, either you sign this plea deal, you get 10 years, and you get paroled in 10 years, or you'll get the electric chair. You'll get sentenced to death, or you'll get life without parole, you know, stuff like that. And instead of letting him out after 10 years, they didn't let him out. They didn't let him out after 10 years. They didn't let him out after 15 years. They didn't let him out after 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. After 35 years, they didn't let him out after 40 years, 45 years, 50 years. They let him out 55 years later. Talk about this because this is a reminder of where we're missing the ball when it comes to racial justice. You know, we saw last week everybody was up in arms about the Ahmaud Arbery case, which they should have been, right? The Ahmaud Arbery case certainly was a tragedy, but when you look at the world in terms of systems, that's where the problem is in America. A lot of these cases that you get caught up in, that ain't nothing but symbolism. That's just one person, one situation, you know, one scenario. And there's no justice that came from the Ahmaud Arbery case, none. Like, nothing. Nothing's going to change. Al Sharpton is going to get another paycheck. Ben Crump's going to get paid when the family sues. Y'all had a nice little show, a nice little press conference, but you didn't really get no real justice. Nothing really changed. Justice is a system. And unless people are changing systems, then there really is no justice. So let me read some of this to you. DrBoyceTV.com, the home for intelligent black people. This is kind of a sad story, but I'm going to read this to you. And my heart goes out to everybody that's, you know, struggling in prison or has a relative struggling in prison. In fact, if you have a loved one who's in prison right now or who has been in prison, I want you to say their name so that we can make sure that the world knows they're not forgotten. Say their name. My Uncle Donald went to prison. My father went to prison. Prison affects everybody in the black community. It's literally one of the biggest plagues in your community. So he said, in 1964, Lester Pearson, accused of murder in Louisiana, signed a plea agreement giving him a shot at parole after 10 years and 6 months. but it never happened. By the time Pearson walked out of the Louisiana State Prison in Angola, he served more than 5.5 decades in prison, 55 years. Pearson told PBS NewsHour that the plea agreement was the best option at the time for a black man in the Jim Crow South. However, after Pearson served his 10-6, he wasn't released, and it seemed nobody cared. Pearson is part of a group of about 60 10-6 lifers in Angola who pled guilty to crimes with the understanding they'd be released after 10 years and 6 months. However, many are being released more than 40 years after their parole date. 40 years after the parole date. Now, let's just marinate on that for a minute. 40 years after the parole date. That means you already did 10 years. And then they put another 40. And imagine going to prison in 2011. And they're letting you out in 2021. Think about all the things that have happened in your life since 2011. Then you add another 40 years on top of that. So you've been in since 2011. It's 2021, but then they keep you in there till 2061. They said Pearson's part of a group of about 60 10-6 lifers. Today, 10-6 lifers are all between the ages of 66 and 86, and many are now being released just now, including Pearson, who was one of 5 10-6 lifers released in October after serving 57 years. Quote, "No one ever told me nothing," Pearson told PBS.
This is despicable. 57 years. How many of our black men and women have been affected by these felonious plea deals that they've been given since the 60s? You see, at the time, they didn't have a stronghold on us as they do now. But at the time that they were being accused of crimes that they didn't even commit, many of them, as we see with Tulsa, Oklahoma, how a devastating community can come from one falsehood. And unfortunately, they had a quota to fill. But to think 57 years, that's a grandfather, great-grandfather in some cases, if you live in the country somewhere. But this is a whole lifetime that this man spent in there when he was only supposed to spend 10.
I always thought I'd die in prison. I've seen so many people die. I'm not mad about it. I'm disgusted. I did way more than my time, and I'm not the same person. Pearson and the other 10-6 lifers were released with the help of the Louisiana Parole Project. I guess, you know, we're supposed to be happy, you know, that a group of people got together, you know, and a group of, you know, white liberals that, you know, used their white guilt to get them out. And I am happy that they got out.
Now, the Louisiana Parole Project is ran by a gentleman named Andrew Hudley. And he also was a lifer, an ex-lifer. He was sentenced, I believe, in 1996 at the age of 15 for a murder he did commit. But for some reason, the parole board saw mercy on him, and he was released. At the time when he was released, he decided to start this organization in 2016. So this is maybe about 5 years old. And Andrew decided to help people like Lester and the other 20 10-6ers. They're between the ages of 66 and 86. There are so many of our brothers that are still lying in wait, wondering when they're going to get out. This is who I work for. This is where my fire comes from, because they don't have the luxury of being outdoors. They are literally in a cage. And so when we are not doing our due diligence, when we're outside breathing fresh air every day, eating the foods that we want, walking outside, taking it for granted, our brothers and sisters who are wrongfully convicted are still in these. That's why I ain't got time to play. Nobody has time for BS. If you're not about making change and setting the captives free, go over there with your symbolism and your nonsense and your rhetoric. Go over there. Over here, on this end, under Imam Sheikh Akbar and the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, we are working on solutions. So we're not trying to hear the old rhetoric and the games that you play. We have a serious execution that needs to happen to set our brothers free, our family members free. You may not care about your family members locked up for 57 years, but trust and believe, there's many of us that do.
But it ain't nothing to celebrate. It ain't nothing to celebrate. And I'm going to tell you why it ain't nothing to celebrate. Because, number one, you know, we celebrate these individual cases. Like we talk about Ahmaud Arbery. That was a big deal. Like one case, George Floyd, one case. And the problem is the reason that you're missing the ball is because this ain't about one case. This ain't about one case. It's about thousands of cases. Thousands of cases. And then also, these men have their lives taken away. You know, you're 20 yeah. years old. You have so much life to live. You get out of jail when you're 75, and people expect you to be happy about that. What universe is that a good outcome? In what universe? I didn't even hear nothing about them getting $50 million, $100 million for their families. You know, because to me, you know, somebody suffers like that, their family should get $100 million, $100 million at least. Maybe $200 million. They got the damn money. Stop playing. Y'all know you got the money. And the thing about it is, this is happening to thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of families. You know, Joe Biden's prepared to go pay, you know, almost $500,000 to immigrant families for being separated from their children for 2 weeks. People that don't even live here. People that don't even have the right to be in the country, breaking federal law, trying to break into the country. 10-6 lifers. 10-6 lifers in Louisiana. They said 80% of them are black. Most of them are black men. So if you want to know why sometimes I'm talking to me about politics and you talk to me about, oh, we got to go vote for Uncle Joe, you know, all that stuff, because Trump is a mean guy. I'm sitting there thinking, what is wrong with you? They really, this man created laws. They created a living nightmare for black people. Do y'all, I mean, have y'all ever really sat and thought about how terrible prison is?
Black Power. Now, did you have a caller, or did you want to say something?
Yeah, I feel with those. Yeah. This is Brother Harold.
Hi. Yes.
Yes. Well, I get that. You know, those brothers are doing all that time and stuff like that in prison, and then they come back to nothing. And I agree with the brother saying they need to reward them some. You know. They need to reward them, at least their families, if they're not going to be around,
right.
At least the families, because they've been in there
That's
for
right.
so long. See, you got back in those days, you had people that, they did, 10, 15 years, 20 years for, you know, stealing, rice?
That's right.
You know,
and that's
but
exactly
George Jackson
what
went to jail
we're saying
for that.
With reparations. So the point you made about reparations, if they're still questioning who should reparations go to, it should go exactly to people like Lester Pearson, who 57 years of his life is gone. You can't get that back. So why would he want to come back to society and we're not doing what we can to make sure that this man is honored? At least this man, one man that represents all of our brothers who are still in there. We need to honor them with everything that we have.
Black Power, yes,
all right.
We do.
Wear an ankle bracelet. That's not cool, great, but you can survive that. Like, you can get comfortable in your house and get your favorite food, you know, write a book or something and be comfortable. See your kids, you know, hang out with family, right? So if you were locked in your house, but in prison, you're taken to a foreign land. You're taken to a foreign land of... that's made out of concrete, where flies coming off the toilet, eating rotten, nasty food, with people that were mentally surrounded by mentally ill people that might want to kill you, might want to rape you, might want to beat you at any given moment, taken away from your family. I mean, completely traumatized. Many of them locked up on false charges. Many of them forced to take a plea deal. Over 90-something% of them have to take a plea deal, and they didn't want to take it. They wanted to fight for their innocence. And nobody really talks about that because y'all talk about Ahmaud Arbery. I'm not sitting there saying don't talk about Ahmaud Arbery, but shit, after you talk about that, please talk about the stuff that's actually going to make a difference, that's going to move the needle for black people. And scream and holler and march and say Black Lives Matter and hold protests and rallies and invite Al Sharpton to every single party. And that is not going to move the needle for black people. You got people in there right now rotting in prison, being beaten every day. Every day. This has been happening for 20 or 30 years every day. And that's the thing. People aren't solving the problem because you're not going beneath the surface. You're doing things that are surface, shallow, and superficial. And they're things that make you feel good. Like, we got justice for George Floyd. We got a conviction. We got a conviction in the Mont Arbery case. Justice was served. No, it wasn't, fool. Justice wasn't served. Justice is a three-course meal. They gave you a lollipop. That's what that was. That wasn't dinner. That wasn't justice. Dinner was not served. Justice was not served to the Ahmaud Arbery case. Here's what justice looks like. The Ahmaud Arbery case didn't have anything to do with justice. It just didn't. It's three toothless hillbillies in Georgia that are all going to go to jail because they killed one black person. You somehow think that represents Juneteenth. Like, you literally, media's telling you to go dance in the streets like black people did in the winds when the witch got killed.
The criteria of judgment, the color of the skin, or I had to accept Islam as it was taught in the Muslim world, which doesn't use color as the color of the skin as the criteria. Rather, in the Muslim world, in the religion of Islam, you judge a man by his behavior, by his conscious behavior, by his intentions, by his deeds. This is the yardstick by which a person is judged.
And that is exactly what we need to live by. But unfortunately, the actions of our black men back in the day, didn't matter what they did, they were still slaughtered. They were still caged. They were made sure that the head of the household was destroyed by their standards. And we got to counteract any attack on our brothers concerning this. We can't do it if we're not well learned. And so this president here, Biden, which is why I say I don't want to hear nothing about how we need to vote and how we need to make our vote count when it doesn't really matter, because the very president that you're telling me to vote for is the one that created the crime bill of 1994 that locked up my fathers, my uncles, my brothers, not theirs.
Just in this way, you tell your politicians that want your vote, we demand that you get an army that you spend $10 billion, the same amount of money or more that Joe Biden spent on his mass incarceration initiative. You put up $10 billion.
Did you hear that, black family? I want you to pay close attention right now because this is note-taking. $10 billion. This is a real number that Voice has drawn up for a reason. It is not to be taken lightly. Now, what is the $10 billion for?
To hire an army of lawyers, like maybe 10,000 lawyers, 5,000, whatever number you got to order, to literally one by one review every single case of every single person who feels that justice was not served in their case.
Do you hear that? $10 billion to hire 10,000 lawyers in order to look at every single case of unjustified, especially our political prisoners, start off with them so we don't end up having more Lester Pearson spending 60, 70 years just because. Destroying the lives of our black men who, at teenagers, they were stolen and caged only to be forgotten about. And you want to talk about no justice, no peace? Running your mouth on the phone, gossiping rather than doing your assignment. You rather come and tell me that you part of the revolution by doing absolutely nothing while you got brothers in jail and you're not coming together with the seat at the table who's trying to free our brothers?
Do you understand what I'm saying? The 10,000 lawyers that are reviewing expeditiously to 10,000 lawyers going through, and if each lawyer goes through, say, in the course of a year, let's say 100 cases, what's 10,000 times 100? Let's do the math here. 10,000 times 100 is what, 1 million? So 1 million cases reviewed of every single person who says justice wasn't served. That means review every case of every person who says, I was forced to take a plea deal I didn't want to. They gave, the all-white jury gave me 30 years or 10 years or 5 years. Every single case of somebody who says, I was a 10-6 lifer in Angola, and I was supposed to get 10 years, but they gave me 57 years 47 times, and nobody hears that. Nobody hears that. But you hear a white woman all day long, but you can't hear a black man for nothing. Let me tell you, well, let me draw the picture of justice for you further. $10 billion at least, literally saying, I want to jack the government on this. Seriously, what do you call it? I'm hijacking your vote, in my view. So it's going to cost you at least $10 billion. So spend the same amount of money that Joe Biden spent getting 100,000 cops on the street. Spend the same amount of money Joe Biden spent building penitentiaries for your sons. He didn't build them for his sons because y'all know his son is a crackhead. Y'all do know this, right? Did y'all know? How many, give me a yes if y'all know that Joe Biden's son is a dirty ass. Open up.
He is a, not only a crackhead, but a dirty ass crackhead was his exact words. Now, we're going to take it, we're going to focus on your president's son. He's not my president, but he's your president's son, because y'all keep telling me, oh, Joe, vote for Uncle Joe, while his son is a bona fide crackhead. Not only is he a crackhead, but he's a proud crackhead. Let's look at the story of Andrew Jackson, a brother in South Carolina that did a brilliant story on looking at the lies, and we're going to focus on Hunter Biden. We're going to look at the son of the president that you voted in, and see how stellar his background is, shall we?
Chapter one of the Crackhead Diaries, pretty much a documentary of Hunter Biden, the world's most famous crackhead. As many of you guys know, a few years back when Hunter Biden was discharged from the Navy, he was discharged from the Navy for being hooked on cocaine. That's not a common way to be discharged from the Navy, especially whenever you are very prominent senator, vice president, you're their son. Takes an awful lot for the Navy to kick you out based on cocaine, because believe me, there were all kinds of other reasons that I'm sure they wanted to kick him out.
Okay, so that's the first stellar act that Hunter Biden, the son of your president, did, okay? When he enrolled, he was kicked out for starting the use of cocaine.
But that pretty much lays the groundwork of what kind of person you're dealing with here, aware of his crackheadedness. Hunter Biden goes to a gun store, fills out a 4473. Now
listen very carefully, black family. He went to a gun store, okay, and filled out a 4473. I believe that's a Delaware law on procedure on purchasing a firearm.
Person we're dealing with here, aware of his crackheadedness. Hunter Biden goes to a gun store. Fills out a 4473. Now, remember, this is a person who's already been kicked out of the Navy for cocaine, and his girlfriend now is worried about him or will become worried about him because he's also a known crack user. He buys his gun. He lies on his 4473.
Are you listening, black family? He goes to a gun store, a known crackhead, and lies on the application. How many of our brothers right now that are locked up in jail for a gun charge? It don't even have to be a gun on the scene. How many of our brothers are locked up right now for a gun-related charge, black family? Oh, we don't want to start there, do we? But yet, the son of your president went to purchase a gun and lied on the application, okay? Now, on question 11... on the 4473, I want you to look it up. 4473, question 11, section E. It asks the question, are you an unlawful user of or addicted to marijuana or any antidepressant, stimulant, narcotic drug, or any other controlled substance? This is an actual question that's on the application. And this is what Hunter Biden did when he filled it out. He plain out said, no, I'm not a crackhead.
And says that he is not an abuser of illegal substances, which he is. So he is clearly breaking the law by lying about that. He's actually breaking two laws by lying apply to me, I would be thrown in jail for breaking those two laws.
Right on.
Ms. Biden, she fears for his life because of the condition that he's in. He's a crackhead. You know, crackheads have a little bit of a volatile nature side of them, if you will. But she was afraid of self-harm, what he might do to himself. So she takes the gun from his vehicle, stupidly throws it into a public trash can on the street, trash can outside of a grocery store, which is a quarter mile, maybe less than that.
This is Delaware, black family, okay, where they have different rules for different folks, different strokes for different folks.
The Secret Service finds out about this little debacle. The Secret Service goes to the FFL dealer where Hunter Biden had lied on his 4473 and purchased the firearm from and tried to strong-arm the owner of the gun store and make them hand over the 4473, which they, by law, won.
Did you hear that? So the Secret Service that our taxes pay for to protect the president, right, went to the gun store that Hunter Biden purchased illegally and went to not arrest Hunter Biden, but went to harass the gun store owner who sold Biden the gun under false pretenses. Do you not see the privilege here? This is your president's son, okay? He's not in jail right now. I'm going to tell you where he's at. He's doing rounds and promoting his new book called Beautiful Things. Let's fast forward to a recent interview that he had on Jimmy Kimmel Live, who is right here where I live in on Hollywood in Los Angeles, where, of course, these talk show hosts and celebrities, they don't care what the Biden, Bushes have done. They are still catering to their BS. So this is Hunter Biden's on a recent talk show.
His new memoir is called Beautiful Things. In case you've been wondering where he is, welcome Hunter Biden.
And this is last month, Black Family. I just want to let you know, this is recent book tour that this man is doing.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
It was a journey, but thank God I made it through. You know, I feel like I learned a lot about crack, and I know that sounds weird, yeah. But you hear about it, and you see it on TV shows and, you know, the news every once in a while, but I learned how to get – I really think I could get it now, thanks to your book. This is not a how-to manual?
No, it's not a how-to.
Oh. Well, I misread the whole thing.
Look how cringing. I want you to hear this very carefully. This is a president's son who nationally admitted to using crack, and instead of going to jail, he had access to all of the resources to rehabilitate himself. But what did he do? He, on purpose, continued to smoke crack because he could. And the reason why we're highlighting this specific area is because our black families have been devastated by crack cocaine since the early 80s. And then the repercussions of that, prison time and incarceration followed. Between these two, this is where half of our population of intelligent black folks was affected. But here you have the son of your president, who openly used crack more so than any black person that I have ever known. And what does he get as a reward? He gets a book tour.
In fact, where we're situated right now, the Roosevelt Hotel is right across the street from us. This is where you had, would you call it a bender?
I was at every hotel in Los Angeles, basically.
You'd hold up there.
Yeah.
Every motel
until they wouldn't have a room for me the next day.
One of the stories was you went just down the block from us to Sunset La Brea, and you looked for some guys who might be able to get you something.
Yeah.
And then you wound up getting it and using crack with them. Were those guys dressed as Spider-Man by any chance?
No. Well, maybe.
Tell me how funny that is to the black community.
I don't know. Some things I
don't recall exactly. But, you know, I wrote about it, and in vivid detail, because, you know, I think the question that most addicts have a really hard time answering, and what everybody that's not addict wants the answer to, is why.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a simple, and it's because it works at first until it doesn't. And for me, it was really important to be completely honest about the entire experience. But it is a very vivid and detailed description of what it feels like to use crack.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've not used crack, but I do feel like I understand it now. And I did think it was especially interesting when you spoke about, or you wrote about, the fact that what happens the first time you use it is something you chase for the rest of the time you use it. It never, it's never what it was that first time.
Ever.
It never. And that's like every drug. You know, I mean, it's very difficult for, I mean, listen, we know you've had a hard life. There's no question about it.
Did you hear what he just said? Hunter Biden, who has access to billions of dollars through his daddy, who accomplished nothing in his life, absolutely nothing. He was on boards of major multi-million dollar companies. Remember Burisma, the Ukraine gas company, in which he was, energy company, in which Hunter Biden was on the board. He didn't speak Ukrainian, but because of his daddy and his name and his privilege, he was able to garnish at least a $2 million salary on that alone while he was still on crack, okay?
Were horrible, horrible things that he went through. And but there were also some, I thought, very interestingly positive things, like you finding a friend, a crack addict on the street who then moved into your house and you had this, I have kind of great relationship with, other than the crack.
Yeah, other than the crack, right? And
I'm going to stop it right there, because this is not a comedy skit, Black family, that I'm playing to. This is not a theater show. This is not a play or a movie. This is a real-life conversation of the son of your president that is currently a user right now. He wrote a book, and he's a happy crack addict. And that you're telling me that I have to keep voting for his family to tell me how we cannot get reparations, but yet you have your son parading on national TV, proud to be a crackhead, and giving him a platform to announce that. How despicable is this, Black family? Now, we're going to get back to Lester Pearson and a solution as to why we have to stop depending, even acknowledging this system in which I've just played for you the last 10 minutes of Hunter Biden's exclamation for illegal drugs, lying and cheating. And yet we want to keep giving these people a platform.
Y'all know his son is a crackhead. Y'all do know this, right? Did y'all know? How many give me a yes if y'all know that Joe Biden's son is a dirty-ass crackhead, right? He didn't build that prison for his son. He built that prison for your son. He built that prison for your brother. He built that prison for my older brother. He built that prison for my dad. He didn't build that for his kids. He built it for your kids. So I want you to spend the same amount of money, Joe Biden. I want you to spend the same amount. Excuse my friend, I'm sorry, I get mad about this. Justice being served means I want billions of dollars spent hiring 10,000 attorneys to expeditiously go through at least 1 million cases a year of anybody who has been a victim of this system that feels that justice was not served. And then when you determine that by a jury of their peers, a real jury of their peers, but people like myself and others sitting on the jury, deciding that justice was served, and that we determined as a jury of their peers that justice was not served, then each of those people should get a check for between $1 million and $200 million, depending on the severity of the injustice. Every single one of them should get reparations. You can create a fund for that too, Uncle Joe.
You're telling no lies.
individual stories are what they market in media because stories sell. Since the beginning of time, the ability to tell a good story has always been profitable. When they measured the TED Talks, which got the most views on YouTube, they found that TED Talkers who got the most views spent 76% of their speech telling stories. So the reason the media doesn't address systematic justice and racism and systematic injustices is because they're too busy telling you stories. Pay attention. Read carefully. If you read a news story, I want you to read out in the beginning. They'll start off by saying, you know, little Pablo and his mother Margarita had traveled 400 miles from Ecuador to cross the American border. They were looking for a better life to get away from the horrible Ecuadorian gangs that had killed Pablo's father and were threatening to kill the mother. So this is why Joe Biden's policy on immigration is unfair and blah, 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 blah. They always start off with the story. They always start with the story. So what I'm telling you is that when the civil rights superstars do, but I just want you to understand what's going on here. The civil rights superstars have learned how to monetize the story. You know, Ben Cole shows up and he gives you the story. John Wilson was out and he met some white people and something happened and John Wilson ended up dead. And because John Wilson's black and the defendants are white, I want y'all to get riled up and triggered so that you'll get upset so that I can then take your anger, your energy, your trauma, and I can take that into the local mayor's office and negotiate a $10 million settlement for John's family, which good for John's family, but then the Crump firm is going to take $2.5 million of that $10 million or $3 million of that, whatever their percentage is, because you know John's family can't afford a damn lawyer. I'm going to milk that cow until the udders fall off. Now, I'm not mad at Ben Crump for getting his paper. He's a good lawyer. He deserves to get paid. God bless him for getting paid. But I need y'all to understand this, black people. I need y'all to understand this. Ben Crump getting paid ain't got shit to do with you getting justice.
I think that bears repeating. I want you to listen very carefully. No shade to Ben Crump. No shade to his firm. But when it comes to black cases, that's not about the camera, lights and action, he's nowhere to be found. Let me tell you a little something about Benjamin Crump. Okay? There were two murders right on my block. One was Dizon Kizzy. I want you to look it up. Dizon Kizzy. He was a 27-year-old, I believe, that was gunned down by the police, and his aunt that lives literally up the block from where I live. They had a huge press conference the very next week. His auntie, who was nowhere to be found, all of a sudden is the spokesperson for Dizon. And after they got a $10 million settlement, right, Benjamin Crump, nowhere to be found, but yet the neighborhood in which we live in is still riddled with race soldiers called police. I want to know, where is those millions going? Why don't you implement change with all that face time you have with the camera? Utilize all that power that you use at Ahmaud Arbery's case, how we flocked down to Ahmaud Arbery's case to the point where how effective was it really in the end? Did it release? How likely? Did it release anybody from prison? All this marching? We ain't got to beat a dead horse.
But I need y'all to understand this, black people. I need y'all to understand this. Ben Crump getting paid ain't got shit to do with you getting justice. About these black men in prison in Louisiana, which is, by the way, the absolute worst place on earth to be in prison if you're a black man. In fact, you will understand that there, it's not a coincidence that the states that have the most black slaves also have the most black prison inmates.
There you go.
So prison is nothing more than a modern-day manifestation of slavery.
That's right. And that's why we got to counteract. We got to counteract this type of racism with a new system.
Because people act like they don't exist. So if you really want to talk about fighting systematic racism, the first step to fighting systematic racism is you must have a system when you follow up on these one individual cases. And these cases are like commodities.
I still remember when Sharpton called me into his office one time when we were seeking justice for a lady named Kelly Williams Bolar.
Kelly Williams Bolar, if you remember, she was a lady that I believe was arrested for trying to send her daughters to a good school. Al Sharpton was supposed to break that story, I believe, on his show. It was a big controversy back then.
A private conversation, but I have to be honest. And I remember he got very upset with me because I had talked about Kelly's case on the Jesse Jackson show. And he said, I wanted you to break the case on my show. And I said, well, does it matter? I said, I thought all that mattered was that people found out what happened to this lady. Kelly Williams Bolar was a single mother who got arrested for sending her child to a school outside of her district.
Every parent wants to give their child the best education possible. One Ohio mom is currently sitting in jail, accused of illegally trying to get her daughters into a better school district. Should she be serving time, or was she justified? Our Andrew Canning is here with more on this mother's crime and her punishment here. This is going to really light up our message board.
Yeah, it's a big, big debate right now, Robin. Kelly Williams Bolar is serving a 10-day sentence. She falsified residency records and prosecutor records and prosecutor records and prosecutor records.
So, there it is.
Kelly Williams Bolar's decision to try to give her daughters a better life has now landed her behind bars. It started 4 years ago when Bolar, who lives in a poorer section of Akron, Ohio, sent her daughters to a highly ranked school in a neighboring district. The problem is, it wasn't her district. It was her father's, and her children weren't eligible to go there. She said,
now, let's just look at this situation. This is exactly a result of redlining. But instead of housing, it's a school district. Kelly Bolar wasn't unique in as a black mother getting in trouble. There are several cases here under your vice president, Kamala Harris, when she was a district attorney here. She actually arrested families who did not send their kids. That means if you have a poor educational system in your neighborhood, tough cookies, you're going to have to stay there. But under Kamala's rule, who's now the vice president, she made sure that families who wanted to send their kids to better schools, who were not bused like she was, remember, Kamala Harris was bused to a better school because she wasn't going to go to school in her neighborhood. But yet when she became an attorney, she made sure that black families behind her would not get the same benefit that she had. You see? But what did you guys do? You made her the vice president. Stop playing games.
She did it to keep them safe and that she lived part-time with her dad.
When my home got broken into, I felt it was my duty to do something else.
But school officials said she was cheating, getting a quality education for her daughters without paying the right taxes to fund it.
Listen to this BS. You got a crackhead national son of a leader smoking crack and faced no jail time, but a mother whose house was broken into, high rate of crime and violence, wanted something better for their daughters, was she wasn't given a ticket, black family. She wasn't given a dialogue from the judge. No, they gave her something better.
Those dollars need to stay home with our students.
The school system says Bolar lied about her address, falsified records, and when confronted, had her father file false court papers to game the system. The district even hired a private investigator to follow her. She was ordered to pay $30,000 in back tuition, but refused and was indicted.
Ask yourself, why would you believe a word she told you on the stand?
If you heard that voice, that's the voice of a black attorney talking like this. Okay, with so much energy, convicting a woman that looked just like him. In the courtroom, convicting her. Why, oh, why, oh, why would you want to believe a woman like this? How dare she try to give her kids a better education? Lock her up and throw away the key. This kung fu.
Fused and was indicted.
Ask yourself, why would you believe a word she told you on the stand?
Bolar claims she was singled out.
It's just not a murder trial.
It's not. I felt that some punishment or deterrent
Now, this is Judge Patricia Cosgrove, is the Jewish attorney, as I can see. I'm sorry, the Jewish judge that was convicting Bowler.
Was needed for other individuals who might think to defraud the various school systems.
My girls meet me. I've never, ever won a date without seeing them off. Never.
The case has now divided the city.
Why they chose this particular young lady, this particular girl, and not anyone else.
And left many wondering how far a mother should go to give her children a better life.
I don't think they wanted money. I think they wanted me to be an example.
And that's it. They didn't care about the money. They charged this lady $30,000, and she spent 10 days in jail. 10 days for wanting a better education for our kids.
What does a black man deserve when he's been sent away to prison for 57 years, been maybe beaten, raped, taken away from his family, traumatized over and over again? What's that worth?
And they got it in for us, black family. Before we close out, I want to play one more clip of exactly a study. And this is coming from the same family. So definitely if you haven't been listening to Boyce Watkins or Fly Nubian Queen, Vicky Dillard, please, Rizza Islam, you've got to listen to these folks. They are the real deal. They are the real deal.
Very black taxpayer dollars to study the ideals of masculinity of African boys and men so that they can take some of that study knowledge that they're going to get there to use against what I say are our street soldiers, the so-called gangbangers and black men, because they what? Weaponize their science and studies, the stuff that they are extract to use against them. Guess what are the five things that your government said, Dr. Boyce, just a few years ago, use your dollars from the State Department. Guess what are the five things your government said, Doc, that they're studying in black boys and men? That's it.
Now, this is an actual study from the Trump administration in 2016. This is an actual study that they use our tax dollars to study in black men. I want you to listen very carefully to these five traits.
Don't forget, y'all, they already put the answers in the chat prompt. I can't even see it.
Everybody, take notes, please, because everybody here who's got a son, shout out your son, because
yeah,
I need y'all to really figure out, like, we need to go to class. Forgive me for interrupting all that.
No, please.
We go to class, and, like, I got a piece of paper and a pen. I need y'all to write this down.
Come on.
We must spread this far and wide. Please, go ahead, Vicky, because I know what you're going to talk about. I remember hearing you say it, and I'm writing it down. Go ahead.
And I won't stop, because I've been talking about it for three, four years, and I will not stop. I'm quoting now from QZ.com. This is, again, a quote from the government. The two-year program, $600,000 program, says expectations of these men. This is a quote that your government said that they're using these $600,000 for to study. Those black boys and men who are what? Tough? Heterosexual.
Yes.
Aggressive, unemotional, and what? Achieving. Let me say those five characteristics that your U.S. government, State Department's counterterrorism program said they're studying just in black boys and men. These are the black boys and men, y'all, that have given the U.S. hell without the same weapons, Brother Rizzo, from hell over there, Dr. Boyce, because they want to know what's causing these unrelenting black boys and men to fight back without the same weapons, without the same resources, fearlessly.
You see? So when it comes to strong black men, the government knows who you are. Trust and believe. This is a counterterrorism actual funding that was given to study these five traits in a strong black man. The ones that they use as a civil rights poverty pimp, they're not worried about them. Black family, they're not worried about them because they already know that they're not doing nothing for the black community. They're attacking the soldiers that are out there, that are outspoken, that want to make actual change and are making a difference. Those are the ones that they screen, that they target, and they make sure that they do something to interrupt that person if they're not standing on solid ground. See,
absolutely.
We don't want men that are going hither and thither. Isn't that right, Imam? We don't want men like that.
Right.
You want men to stand on 2 feet and actually have a plan of action moving forward.
Right, Black power.
Black power.
Yeah, so all of these stats that we collect from, like Donald Duck, Trump, so from both sides, I said 2, 4, 6, 8, and who the hell do we really hate? They call them Democrats, and they call them Republicans, they call them individuals, the jury,
mm-hmm.
the DA, and just the whole damn bunch. It's, overriding corruption, that's what most of that COVID is actually, just corruption manifests that God is exposing. You see, all of this is just heaped up corruption. And they're in our way as a fulfillment decoy to our clean freedom, justice, and equality. And Kamala Harris is no different. Joe Biden is no different. These are known racists, that whole Biden, Trump, all those guys are partners. Clinton, Bush, all those guys are partners. They are partnered up against the black community. Hillary and so-and-so with the Zionists of Illinois. She's from where? Skokie, Illinois, with
mm-hmm.
all those Zionists and Germans and Nazis are the ones that dominate most of that region with the power and the money. That's how she becomes, the wife to the President Clinton out of Arkansas. All those really sworn enemies. But we look at us. When we make our move, those rednecks and Jews will team up and move the block. Got Jesse Jackson because of some Hinetown talk. They got this one and that
mm-hmm.
one because they said something about a bar mitzvah. And another one and the other one because they didn't hire Anthony Cohen as a lawyer. And all just anything. The Biden, Donald the Duck and Anthony Cohen are sworn enemies. But they team up when they make that move. You see, when it's a
yep.
money move or African management of resources, human melanated
vaccine
natural resource move, they all in the way. So we have
yep.
the power now. We're in place with power to move them out of the way. In Los Angeles,
right.
in Washington D.C., in New York City, Chicago. We have to just realize our power and authority and exercise the power, the authority. Exercise it. It's not potential until you exercise it, brother and sister. And once you exercise, you realize you'll be able to stand a guy up like James Clyburn and say, no, Clyburn, you were ordered by the black community to hold those goddamn votes and put all those votes over here for us. And we'll utilize our political position to use our power to exert force in the world, all up and down the United Nations, up and down Africa, places where we are significant, where we make the difference, where we have the resource and power under our control. And bring our own currency. Harriet Tubman, nor did Frederick Douglass assimilate you into the burning house. They assimilated you for your independence, for your freedom, for your own government, not for their government. Because we had government
yeah.
long before Columbus, long before these guys decided to come. Benjamin Barrington was genius long before he thought about Washington and Jefferson and any of that stuff. Christopher Addis was already a general. Our navigators and explorers were already rolling around the planet when all those guys, they were in the caves. I'm telling you, they were cavemen. They were barbaric people, borderline savages that was turned loose on the world. You just got to study the history, sister, brother, and you realize that what we're saying is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And we hold these truths to be self-evident, huh? That we're
mm-hmm.
not only equal but many ways superior. You just have to realize what it costs and smell the coffee, brothers. Give up the flowers while you're living. And let's see if we can grab a couple of callers before we roll. But, yeah, you hit all the right spots tonight. These guys are excrement. When you study the history of these guys, they were the rejects of Europe, and they were turned loose over in the New World. And they were turned loose on our behind. And if any of them were indentured service, they could work their terms off. And then all of a sudden, they become the slave master. And they crack the whip
mm-hmm.
on your behind as a master, as a slave breaker, as a slave maker. Don't make any mistake, brother and sister. Don't go for the masters of deception. Go for your own freedom in your own place. And you won't have to worry about the opposition. They will take their position, and they will be your footstool, your stepping stone, on your road to freedom, justice, and equality. In the real sense, what Dr. King's talking about, managing the freedom with your own hand, managing justice that rains down like water. So we, the righteous, can rise up like the mighty stream. Let's pick up the 301. We're at 301-682. You're actually live right here on Black Power Radio. Black Power.
Talk to the people.
Yeah, we're right there at 301-682. You're live on Black Power Radio.
Black Power. Yes, sir. I'm on it. We are doing a drive-by. We're doing a fly-by, drive-by, and a Black Power all the way by, all the way down. Can you hear me?
Okay,
Black Power, you're calling from Black Power Central. I think I lost my live. I was trying to do a live at the same time. I hope I didn't lose it. Wait a minute, broadcast resumed. I don't know if I can do it or not. All right, well, Black Power, I'm trying to do a simulcast. And I don't know if it went on hold or not, but now we just want to give it to the masses like this. We're talking about tonight the, for one, Biden's crackhead son. And I got jokes about him anyway. And then also, like, the fulfillment decoys. That's what I was thinking. And as far as their Biden's son and everything, that's like showing severe. I would say that they're like a canker sore. They're like a big old canker sore because they give only the medicine to their little canker sore, and they ain't worried about the rest of us. So I just want to say shout out to Black Power Radio, shout out to Sheikh Imam Akbar, shout out to all the Black revolutionaries, shout out to Sister Mella Desire, shout out DC Chair, Black Power everywhere. And and don't forget, y'all, throw some dollars at Black Power Radio at $77Bakers, and that's capital letter B A. It's all capital letter B A K E R S, Bakers, like a baker, somebody that cook you some good cornbread in the morning. You know what I mean? Hey, at least that's the kind of baker I like. Anyway. Just want to say we're doing a live. I'm doing a live. I'm doing a simulcast live if it comes through. If it don't come through, on your, at least it's still coming through live what I'm saying right now. And
all right.
I just want
to live and direct.
Yeah, so we just looking out for all of the Black people all over the world in our hometown first, and in your hometown first, and not only the Black and the brown and all the righteous people, because we righteous coming in all shapes and sizes. So does the other man, might be the brother man sometime, because he can't sneak up on us no more. And since they can't sneak up on us no more, they have to come by crazy other means and stuff like that, which, which means we see them coming, but we don't see us coming. So we just have to be careful all the way around the board. You know what I'm saying? Careful what you say, careful what you do. And, everything, like they say, can and definitely will be damn sure used against us. Hell yeah. And then, like, Biden's crackhead son going there buying guns and stuff, and then they go in and put the hot water treatment on the gun store owner. That's hilarious.
That's privilege. Yes, that's what you call privilege. We got to counteract that system of privilege with our own, which is why it's imperative we need all the minds at the table.
That's that privilege. I got to call y'all back on my other phone just to keep the live going after I get off of here. But I want to make the point. I don't want to miss the main point because we brushed on Andrew Jackson, you know. And Andrew Jackson, he was right after Lincoln. And then everything that Lincoln tried to do, Andrew Jackson undid. And that's why sometimes celebrate Juneteenth. But Juneteenth came a long time. I mean, after we were still slaves.
Right.
Like 2-3 years after that. You know, because Andrew Jackson, he's the one that came in and just said, no, heck no. He wanted everybody to just stay slaves. And that's exactly what happened.
Are we still slaves, though? Until we get reparations, we are still enslaved. Until all of
yes, sir. I hear you, brother. Black power. Black power, sir.
Black power, hold up just a second. I want to get you straight now. Get this history straight.
Yes, sir.
Not Jackson syndrome. Actually, Johnson syndrome.
Andrew Johnson syndrome. Yes, sir.
The whole world got that twisted. Don't feel bad.
Yeah, that's right. It's Andrew Johnson.
At a time, bro. Now we sing very
well. Yes, sir, of course. I can't believe I said Andrew. Did I say Andrew Jackson? Because I, you know, I be flowing sometimes, trying not to go
So what we gotta do, for sake of time, tomorrow we're actually gonna speak more about Andrew Johnson and the mishaps of what our history has been telling us. So that's a very great point that you made. Thank you, Imam, for correcting
Now, let me see if we can get straight. Yeah, it's very, very difficult to talk at the same time, especially on radio because people are listening on a monolithic ear. They're only able to hear one at a time. That's the great thing about radio. You almost have a captive audience, but now, I want us to slow it on down a little bit because the whole world heard Jackson. Now we want to correct it. Andrew Johnson, make no mistake about it, brothers, is the vice president to Lincoln. When they assassinated Lincoln, and they say the name John, we want you to know the name John Wilkes Booth better than you know the name Andrew Johnson, who we feel is Johnson syndrome with Lincoln and Johnson syndrome with John Fitzgerald Kennedy. We want you to know this history like you know your name, for real.
That's right.
And all of this thing has gone on because of the mischaracterization, the misrepresentation of history, and the miseducation especially of the American Negro. I'm just trying to get this home for you so you can see the package that Andrew Johnson, I think, was in the plot to assassinate Lincoln and went along with it and moved on it. Andrew Johnson was the kingpin redneck of Confederalism of all time. His twin is Donald the Duck Trump in modern history. With that said, Andrew Johnson had forgiven all of those slave masters that were guilty of hate crimes, guilty of crimes against black people especially, and forgiven them and let them off these plantations and turned them back loose on black people. That was the same thing that eventually manifested in all that stuff you see from Tulsa, the burning of Black Wall Street, and all of that you see in Rosewood in Florida, and there are a dozen Rosewoods all over that region. Just trust me when I tell you. I've been on the ground to experience and interview the descendants, and I know exactly what I'm telling you, is that you must familiarize yourself with this guy Johnson, else you're just bypassing. You're doing a drive-by if you don't totally familiarize yourself with Andrew Johnson so you can see how the problem is manifest. When they label it off, they're talking about North Carolina and South Carolina. That's where these guys are from. North Carolina and South Carolina is the main influx. When you look at that history from the Shanghai and all of this, that our previous history, there were squabbles about how North Carolina and South Carolina was treating black people. So they sent an exploratory group to Germany to see how they were keeping their slaves in line. And they told them that just don't tell them they were great kings and queens. And to suppress the knowledge, just like they're doing today, suppress the knowledge and then tell them almost anything and they'll go for it. They tried to trick, the trick worked. That's what's manifest in North Carolina, South Carolina, and really the whole of America is affected by it. So wake up, brothers, and see the real culprit in Andrew Johnson. And what he did, he vetoed nearly the entire Emancipation Proclamation. There was no freedom. There was no 40 acres, no mule, no, none of that, all the way up to this hour. So we can, we can go in on reparations just based on the veto of the Emancipation Proclamation alone. You got to know your politics. You got to know your history. You got to put it on the front line, brother and sister, so we can get free of this beast. Many of us are walking in freedom, just like Frederick Douglass walked in freedom. But he invited everybody to get off. He said, none of us are free until all of us get free. We're trying to free everybody, brother and sister. So let's see if we can keep up. Now I'm going to get right back here and see what Black Lightning's follow-up is. If he restates that with Johnson and see how that works. We got to get straight. Do not stay here. You won't get straight anywhere. Now, okay, now.
Yes, sir. The black power, black power. I had to retract that. I was just flying too fast. I can't believe I said that because you know I know that Andrew Johnson.
I know you
was ready to smack me through that phone. Yes, ma'am.
Mother Lightning, tomorrow, December 6th, we're actually going to go into depth of the history of Andrew Johnson. Because what Imam is made a very important point that if we're going to recite history, we got to do it correctly.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
One thing I
found
Andrew out.
Johnson syndrome was Trump revisited, you know. Trump was
right. So
that
the thing is for Johnson, before I want to make this point. Andrew Johnson, as a whole, he was an uneducated man. I want people to sit with this. And then we're going to go in depth tomorrow. Make sure you call in the show to engage tomorrow. But Andrew Johnson was uneducated, and he went from mayor to vice president to president. Now, if an uneducated man can get that far and undo what Lincoln has done, that tells you a lot of the type of people that's going into office. Right, Black Power.
That's right. Black Power. He undid everything that Lincoln could possibly do. I must have flowed through that. My tongue must have said, "Hold up, wait
it's
a minute."
All right.
Go ahead, organize and bring it black tomorrow.
We did an in-depth study about Andrew Johnson.
Check it out. Bring it back tomorrow if you can. Black Power?
Yes, sir. I got
Black
all
power
my notes on that. Black Power.
Keep it strong, but know that that was a cover-up. The cover-up actually was that they had an illiterate president. That's what the whole cover-up is. You got to study this stuff. Study it over and over. This stuff will make sense to you now. That just like George Bush Jr. was borderline illiterate, and this guy here was shown up illiterate. His wife taught him to read after they were married. After he got all up there, became the governor of Tennessee. These are ignorant people leading intelligent people. So we're in the reversing the polarity and in the transitional transformation. That's one good word Obama left you with. You got to transfer out. You got to have a transfer of power, a transfer of political power, of economic power, of the wealth and the education, the whole nine yards, the technology. There has to be a transformation of power because we are the original inhabitants. Our land, our technology, this is our science, our inventions that they have stolen all the patents and the history. The living proof is in the history. And then we can talk. Maybe we can negotiate after we do the transfer of power. But thank you
so much,
all of the great black audience. There's a few more out there. That's real black power. When you get it straight, when you know that you had an illiterate president named Johnson. And Lyndon Baines was much better. He was straight out of Texas Longhorn, became the president after John Fitzgerald Kennedy was pretty sharp. But Johnson was like a nightmare. You understand?
Yep.
All this voting, right? They act like they want you to vote. They don't really want you to vote, brother and sister. Oh, as my man said, now he's going to sum it up for me. Let me see if I can pull out that 323. There's a 323-338 out there. Are you live? 323-338 Black Power. Don't it's still there.
Yep.
You can rock with me.
I'm there.
323. Go ahead and drop it like a top. 323-338. You're live on Black Power Radio.
I'm Margaret, and what I wanted to add to what you all were saying earlier, I wanted blacks to know that it is very, very important and imperative that we sit on some of these juries. A lot of black people that I personally know and have talked to say that they don't answer their jury summons. And when I go down to the courthouse, because even the last 5 or 6 years, I've gone down there a lot to listen to cases just on my own, because I'm very curious about different things in the court.
That's
how they handle things. Oh,
mm-hmm.
But there's been very few blacks in Los Angeles at the courthouse on these juries.
Better preach. Hold on for that. I got to give you a shout-out because you just made an important point right there. Let's do this right here. One time. Right. Say it again, Sister Margaret.
Yeah. So, blacks, we have got to get these. When we get these summons, we have got to answer them. And we have to go. We have to start sitting on these juries because a lot of people don't understand us as black people. And so you got people sitting on these juries, listening to the people talk about blacks, and they don't know anything about black people.
Right.
We got to get up here, and we got to get on these juries. We have to serve. We really do. That's very important.
That's right. Thank you so much for that. And with that being said, we're going to do one more shout-out. But we can't get enough of intelligent saying, so appreciate so much. You've got to get involved in the judicial system one way or another, and jury duty is one way of doing it. So thank you again for stressing that. Do we have
Let's keep
our program?
Got anything live at 681 at 352. You could potentially be live here on Black Power Radio. Black Power? 681. 252. You're actually potentially live.
Do we have a communication program?
Black Power.
Black Power.
Can you hear me?
Come back in.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing the simulcast. So look, I'm gonna leave y'all with this. I wanted to say, since we're doing a live simulcast, Facebook, next time we're gonna kick this on YouTube if we can. I gotta get with Sister Janae, show me how to do that thing. But I just want to leave it out there because I didn't put it out there the last time, but one time. But it's very important that everybody know we got to get it going. And the only way we can do this thing is by the participation and the funds of each other sometimes.
That's right.
All the time. Because the other man ain't going to give it to the brother.
Now you got to sharpen your sword. Black line, you got to listen up one. You got to sharpen your sword. You want 3 or 4 lines. We want you to sharpen up. Bring it back tomorrow. Just prepare yourself. Write your notes. Go by your notes. That's all you
That's
have
right.
to do. You don't have to invent the wheel for radio. You're just talking, just holding
That's
the
right.
conversation, but it's based on some knowledgeable, well-researched, well-thought-out, and well-rehearsed lines as far as you're concerned to come on this airway.
Right.
I mean, you listen, you got listeners all over the world here, and this is not the place to come and practice your soapbox radio. It's okay.
I do.
As long as
Do we have Queen Janae? Is Janae on near the line? Because I didn't get her on yet. Is she
Did
near?
She was on. I looked for her, but I don't see. I can get her, no question. But I don't
so I
see her
to get
right
her
this
update.
Moment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can get her. You can go ahead and move on what you're moving on, and let me see if we can bring up Queen Janae. I'll work on that one. Okay.
All right. So we're gonna take a quick musical break. Sam Cooke, Changes Have Come, and then we're gonna finish off with our Honorable Imam
Black Power.
And Lastman.
Black Power. Yes.
Get a little
Change gonna come. That song never ever gets old. It is timeless and relevant for today. So just a reminder, on May 19th to the 22nd in Los Angeles, we'll be having our 3-day of excellence, Malcolm X Day in the Merck Park. This will be finishing off our Black Political Conference. So log on to NBPC2022.com. NBPC2022.com to look into the Black Political Convention that will be happening April 28th to May 1st in Newark, New Jersey. And so these two events where we want the best and the brightest revolutionaries to come together where we can execute our plan of action. So you'll never know. I'm telling you, you're going to have some big, big names coming together, leaders, philanthropists, organizations. These are the brightest, the most intellectual and direct people all in one event. So don't forget, New Jersey, April 28th to May 1st, and then join us in Los Angeles, May 19th to the 22nd. And after, in June, we should have a clear plan of action and a system ready to go. That's our plan right here at the New Black Panther Party for self-defense. Huh? Now, do we have Miss Queen Janae? Did she get on the line? Or
Black Power, I'm here. What? You hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How's it going?
It's good. We have been actively listening on Clubhouse.
Okay.
For the most part of the show, I just got to figure out how we can participate at the same time. So we have small group on Clubhouse that's been listening to the show. And you can join us on Clubhouse after you end the show so we can talk about the solutions that we're looking for. You know, and this is, Clubhouse is international for all of our listeners. If you want to join us on Clubhouse after the Black Power, Freedom of Death Radio, what is the name of it? It's called the Black Panther Movement. And we, or you can inbox us, one of us on Facebook, and get the link to the show. So any of the Black Panthers that are in, you know, in our group chat, we want to, you know, if you didn't get a chance to speak on the radio, you come and speak your piece on Clubhouse. And we're going to work on real solutions and tying into the May 19th at LaJoie Park in L.A. and working with all the community programs that we have coming up available. There's a lot of good information out there. Dr. Miller's doing a great job, you know, and we're supporting Black Freedom of Death Radio, send that money in to 77 Bakers so we can keep blocks our radio going. We've been doing tremendous things in the community. The Islamic Relief Foundation, along with the Black Panther Party, over the weekend. And ma'am, did you tell them about what y'all did, giving away stuff in the community? They gave away brand new coats and diapers and food and just so many beautiful, you know, things. I mean, and we don't wait until Thanksgiving and Christmas to do this, y'all. We do this every day. You know, and that's one thing we want to stress to our people. There is a need for this stuff 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we've got to make ourselves available for those things to happen in the community. So get with your local Islamic foundation. To get with people, and I always encourage Panthers, even if you're a lone Panther, if you feel like you're the only Panther in town, go get with one of the bigger organizations and volunteer. And I guarantee you, you'll find out that you're not the only one. You know what I mean? You're not the only Panther. You're not the only person that feels like you need to help, you know, or do something or do more in the community, because this is the time that we need to be uniting regardless of color. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes white folks do more for us than we do. Black Power, keep it real. You know, and they have more resources to offer. And if those things can benefit your community, then be a part of it. You don't have to stress, you know, your indifferences, but you need to be able to help your people. Because we got to be willing to live and die for the people. Stop quoting Chairman Fred if you don't mean what Chairman Fred said. You know, and I see a lot of that lately. We quoting, but we want to call ourselves something else. But at the end of the day, we're Panthers. We are Panthers. And we have to do the work of the Panthers that's out here and before us. Like you say, Sister Mello, we ain't got time to play with y'all. Go play with your kids. You know, don't play with us. Right now we got this vaccine out here and all these variants and things like that, and they're not giving a damn about life in general. It ain't even about Black Lives Mattering no more. Ain't nobody's life mattering right now. You know what I'm saying? It's a concept right now between those that want to live and want to have a value of life and those that want to stay secluded and away from other people, like me. I'd rather just stay in house and not have to deal with it. But it's refreshing to go out and see people enjoying themselves and not being afraid of each other and, you know, and be in each other's faces or things like that that are going on. But we must be still ever so diligent, because you can't see this. You can't smell it. You can't taste it. You don't know when or who can affect you. All you know is it's out there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The only thing we can do is do preventive work as far as this vaccine and this this devil that's wreaking havoc over the planet. Mm. All we can do is stay healthy, boost our immune systems up, and refuse to put anything in your body that you don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the number one thing. And the solution, I love what Dr. Watkins said about getting these lawyers to help us get these political prisoners out of jail. You know, it sounds pretty far-fetched, but it's got to be 10,000 lawyers somewhere. And you know what I mean? It's got to be. The law schools are turning over new students every year. So we got to be able to gather with them, and we got to be able to get them to get these cases done. You know,
when
we
you
need
think
some
about,
advocacy.
Sister Janae, when you think about the amount of people in the United States, the 50 million people, it's really not a lot when you think about the trillions of dollars in taxes that we pay nationally every year. Mm-hmm. $10 billion mm-hmm. is a fraction of the total amount that Boyce was talking about, which is a $250 billion. This is the total amount. But if we start with small, even 100 lawyers, let's say at $1 million, you know what I'm saying? We at mm-hmm. least we push that talking point and make it a reality. That way we can reach to the $10 billion and get 10,000 lawyers. But let's start off small, right?
Right. So we just need 100 lawyers to start off with. And I think we should make that an assignment. I think all pastors should get in their phone books and contact 50 lawyers apiece. You know, if you're the only person in your chapter, then you need 100 lawyers in your area. You know, or at least, you know what I'm saying, or something. You got to contact somebody. We got to do something because this whole situation that we've been going through for the last 6 months was just ridiculous. We had nobody, no lawyers, no resources, no nothing to help us with simple infractions, let alone trying to get somebody out of prison for 40, they've been in there falsely accused for 40 years. You know what I'm saying? So we've got to get it together. And it's going to take us, it's going to take conversations that are uncomfortable to make them happen, you know?
That's right. We
gotta even if they ain't black, that's why I say even if they're not black lawyers, we still have got to find lawyers that are willing to fight for our people. You know what I'm saying? And that's where I'm at right now because it don't even matter no more. It doesn't matter no more. You know what I'm saying? That we get the people the justice that they deserve.
That's right.
And most of the justice that we get, we can't get it from another black lawyer. Look at Tyrell Clemens. Look at what we had to go through with him. This joker still to this day ain't called to answer no real conversation. To this day.
And this is a Christian pastor. I want to emphasize the fact that he's preaching Jesus all day and night, but he can't even make a phone call to set the captives free, as Jesus said in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, he had no
legal advice. He had no discernment of, you know, this is what you need to do or this is how I can help you. Oh, I'm not a federal lawyer. You're going to have to get a federal I'm like, Negro, you know what I'm saying? We've been trying to contact you for 6 months. And the only time you respond is after the case is dismissed. Wow.
And let's remind them that he was paid in full. A lot of these public pretenders, as we like to call them, public pretenders, they get paid in full for these cases. So it doesn't matter if they do their job or not. They're still working for the system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So this is why it's imperative, Black family, come April at this convention, these are the solutions that we're talking about that we're going to bring them to life. So we're not talking on the show just to talk. We're literally working behind the scenes to make it happen. So we need everyone, everyone, no matter what your gripe is, no matter what your experience is, to do something on this table, because this is where it's going to be.
That's
how
Black power. Black power. Like I said, I'm going back to the clubhouse room. We're going to continue to listen. Mm-hmm. If you need me, I'll be here. But I think you're about ready to wrap up now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Black power.
Black
power. Thank you.
Black power. Thank you, Queen.
Danae Cook Muhammad, all the work mm-hmm. she's doing, and then especially working for her husband, Stephen Biko Muhammad, on all of the things he's been faced with. But nevertheless, mm-hmm. Victory is near, and justice will triumph. And, you know, justice, God, I'm wearing justice for all, and especially for the black man, woman, and child at this hour, and especially for our national security advisor, Honorable Brother Stephen Biko, will be back on the set soon and rocking the set. But with that said, we got Fred is out there. I don't know who else. Did you have anything else, our beloved Sister Mellow Desire out of Los Angeles, Cali? We'll be black tomorrow on some Malcolm. And some Malcolm X Day in Leimert Park in Los Angeles. We just be in the middle of the rumble. And Black Power Radio is the most informative radio talk show on the Internet, bar none. You can be here, be there, or you can be square. But, I mean, we rock right in the ear hole with the most informative, up-to-date information. There's no way you can beat us. We'll let you match us. Goddamn, we're going to let you beat us. I'm just telling you straight up. We rock and rumble here at Black Power Radio. And let me bring some Fred Spread live from Oaktown. We're the only one that can bring you D.C., San Diego, Philly, bring New York and some Chicago, Atlanta. We got us some Oaktown right in your ear hole. Go ahead, Oaktown, at 707-805. Fred Spread, you're live on Black Power Radio.
Black Power, can you hear me?
That's right.
Y'all had a good show tonight. And Mrs., you're doing a good job for Aspa, and I really appreciate you. And wish I'd see you on that date or in L.A. because I'm going to try to make it. But listen, if I don't, you will see me in spirit.
All right.
But listen,
good.
Every day I'll be praying to Allah, and Allah is the greatest, and Osborne knows that, and we're going to do the big thing tomorrow night on the same back channel on Black Power Radio. Let me get back to my Osborne and you, and have a good night, and Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power. Black Power. Thank you, pretty quick. All the way from that west side. I don't see how you can beat it with updates from the east and the west. This is what it's all about here at Black Power Radio, is bringing the East to the West and the West to the East. And with that said, Dr. Miller, this is our Black Power.
Black Power. So we're going to wrap up. I'm just going to quickly replay the 5 traits that the government currently is studying towards black men and boys, are strong, focused, and intelligent black men. So listen to these 5 traits again as to what they're looking for in our strong black men.
The 2-year program, $600,000 program, says expectations of these men. This is a quote that your government said that they're using these $600,000 for to study. Those black boys and men who are what? Tough? Heterosexual.
Yes.
Aggressive, unemotional, and what? Achieving. Let me say those 5 characteristics that your U.S. government, State Department's counterterrorism program said they're studying just in black boys and men. These are the black boys and men, y'all, that have given the U.S. hell without the same weapons, Brother RZA.
Come on.
Some hell over there, Dr. Boyce, because they want to know what's causing these unrelenting black boys and men to fight back without the same weapons, without the same resources, fearlessly. These are the 5 traits that your government says that they fear in black boys and men. Say it with me, y'all. Those who are tough.
Those who are tough.
Heterosexual.
Heterosexual.
Aggressive.
Aggressive.
Unemotional,
and the top one is
and achieving.
And achieving. So if you have a black man, or if you're raising a black king in training, you've got to know that these are the traits that they're going to be attacked for, and you've got to prepare. You've got to prepare them intellectually wise. You got to prepare them spiritually, and you got to make sure they are physically fit. So that means eating right. That means put down the junk food. Drink at least a gallon of water a day. The minimum things to keep your body in check so you can be prepared and ready for the revolutionary work that is ahead of you. But if we are not aware of what this system of government has prepared for the black man in America, then you are no good to us. And that's real talk. So I'm going to ask you again, black family, take the time every day to discipline yourself, to learn something that is relevant to create the black system, and stop engaging in the symbolism, because ain't nobody got time for that. Nobody got time for that. So with that being said, black family, I want to bid you a blessed, blessed night. But more importantly, you got to keep it black and you got to keep it live, or else you are just dead man walking. Black family.
Well, my, keep it black. You want to keep it strong, by all means, keep it revolutionary. Remember Black Power Radio, and your thoughts and your dreams. We will always be there with some black energy for black revolution and some black knowledge, some black wisdom, for good understanding, and bring justice down like waters so the righteous will rise up like a mighty stream. We'll keep all the dreams alive. Bring education until you are in control of your environment, the politics, the health and medicine in your community. This is what we must have to have black power, black nationalism, and any form of a black military. We must have selfhood. We must have umoja, that unity, the tawhid, the unity, the black unity. The unity is the key. UNITY, you got to get with it, because that's the only way I know to go. Better keep it strong and keep it black. By all means, keep it revolutionary. Yeah, Black Power Radio, always call 646-478-4447 to get us a Black Power Radio for all of those who are numerically pure at heart, at 646-478-4447. And for all of you who want to put some money, put some lean green in this black machine, hit us at $77bakers, $77, all caps. B-A-K-E-R-S, regular spelling. Hit us on Cash App. You can even get in where you can fit in. Black Power Radio, again, the most informative radio talk show on the Internet. With all of that said, with all we can say, get to Leimert Park, May 19, 20, 21, and 22. Be there, be square in Los Angeles, California. Be in Leimert Park. Be there, be square. We're keeping it strong. We're keeping it black and rebel. Revolutionary, but with all that we can say, we know our beloved brother, the Honorable Marvin Gaye, said it best here at Black Power Radio. Black Power.
He gave us a control our destiny. We owe it to ourselves to live happy eternally.
Mrs. Jones, we got a thing. It's wrong, but it's much too strong to let it go now. We gotta be extra careful that we don't build our hopes up too high, 'cause she got her own obligation, and so do I. Me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing. We both know that it's wrong, but it's much too strong to let it go now. Well, it's time for us to believe it. It hurts so much inside. Now she'll go her way, and I'll go mine. Tomorrow we'll meet the same place, the same time. Me and
Yeah. suicide. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together, gonna polish up our act well. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing,
they do.